You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Scott, happy birthday to me and to you.
That's Total right,
Talk,
John.
That's right. Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
I'm John. I'm Scott.
134, baby. We're back. Back live in the studio.
You had a birthday last week. I have a birthday coming
up. I had a birthday. Well, is it last week?
No, it's this week, I guess. Is Sunday the first day of the week?
It depends. Sometimes it's the end.
Depends. Reminds me of a joke.
Yeah. What does 80-year-old pussy smell like?
Depends.
Depends.
So how do you feel about getting older?
Like a one big pile of shit.
Yeah, it really sucks. It really blows. A couple of things happened to me.
You're tomorrow, right?
Well, you don't want to give it out the exact date. Let's just give out my social
security
number, too. What
are you talking about? We did this before. We figured out that we're 666, remember?
Oh, that's right.
You, me, and Rick. Dude.
So, while you were in Germany, that's why we missed last show.
Yeah.
You were in Germany, not we.
Germany.
I'm at home. And when I take a leak, I sit down. Because I'm in a house full of women.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with the, you know, pissing all over the place. So it got hot, finally, here in Illinois in the summer.
Humid.
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 So I'm sitting down to take a leak, and I pissed on my balls.
I do that all the time, man.
That's never happened to me.
They sank so low.
That has never happened to me.
You feel it dripping off the bottom of them.
But it reminds me when I was younger, and I'd go to day camp or whatever, and we'd have to change for swimming, and we'd see these 80-year-old guys with their balls down to their knees.
Yeah.
That's what I'm becoming, John. That's what I'm becoming.
Well, there's like a bit from The Man Show. You ever see that?
Mm-mm.
Guy's out there picking up his paper, and he's in his robe, and his nut sack is hanging lower than the robe goes.
I did see that on Jackass. I didn't see it on The Man Show.
That's
Johnny
on Jack-
Knoxville.
No, but this is about a like a bra for the nuts.
Oh, a bra for the nuts. You don't need a bra. You just need to keep them constantly cool and shriveled up.
Cool.
You get some cooling underwear.
Yeah, I noticed they really sag, man.
Oh, it's just brutal.
Brutal.
And then how do you clean that up? You know, because it gets in all the little grooves and stuff. It's like you got to take a shower.
You just dab it.
Piss on your balls.
No, it's okay. Piss is okay. You know, back in the day, I talked to my father-in-law. He told me in the war.
It's very sterile.
If you got shot, that you'd piss on the wound.
Is that how golden showers started?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know, I kind of like that.
Hey, can you piss in my face? In my mouth, too.
The other thing that happened to me is just today, I went to Panera. And getting older, I don't want people to waste my fucking time anymore. Yeah,
because there's not much left.
Right, and life is short. And before this, I'm like, live and let live, whatever. I mean, if people are incompetent, I felt sorry for their incompetence because they're going to have to go through life like that. But then when the W...
Now you don't give a damn.
And I don't give a damn. Then when, like, I think W has got a huge influence on the way I think because this guy's completely incompetent.
Completely.
And you could be president of the United States. You can be a total idiot and be president of the United States.
Right, right.
So now I don't feel sorry for incompetent people anymore. I feel anger towards them. So I'm at Panera. I don't know if you know this, John, but Panera has new breakfast sandwiches. They're really tasty. They're really good.
No, I haven't had one.
So I run over there, and I get in line. And this woman comes, and she just kind of cuts in front of me. She sees me. I'm waiting, and the woman asks to help her. And instead of saying, well, he was here before me, she just starts giving her order. Like, you bitch. So when I get up there, I already got a chip on my shoulder, right? So this high school kid, can I help you? Yeah. Give me two of those breakfast sandwiches. Yeah, would you like something from the bakery?
Did I ask for anything from the bakery?
Well, I said, yeah, I would like something from the bakery, but I'd like you to put my order in. Is it Aaron? Is it Aaron? Is that your name? I'd like you to put my order in because I don't want you to waste my time.
I'm almost dead.
If it takes 2 minutes for you to get my bakery order together, then you put my order in, I'm going to be waiting here 7 minutes. If you put my order in now, my stuff will be cooking while you're taking care of the bakery.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to tell you how to do your goddamn job.
Irritable.
Is Panera going to compensate me for your incompetence? I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. And then while she's doing my order, I'm like, boy, I wonder if they could write notes to the cooks, you know, like spit on this guy's food.
Yeah. Or jerk on it.
It did take an extra while.
Oh, there's lots of mayonnaise
to get
on
my
this.
Food. But I've had it. I've had it. I'm going to call incompetence out every time I see it. And
that's
I am
nice.
Going to be an a-hole.
Yeah. I had a, I don't know if it's incompetence, but my trip to Germany was pretty insane. It was under protest that I went. I didn't want to go. I didn't think I needed to go. And we spent some big dough on business class tickets because it's kind of our policy now, you know.
Right.
Anything over 4 hours or something automatically gets that. So we got to fly Scandinavian Air, which is one of the shittiest airlines ever. They have nice amenities. I've never been in such a big bathroom on a plane before in my life. They got pretty huge bathrooms.
That's nice.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a big guy. And you remember that scene in Tommy Boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he falls around the toilet?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tight in there? Well, that's how a normal bathroom is. Well, in this plane, they have the toilets in the corner, and there's two windows looking outside, so you can sit down taking a crap while you're looking at the clouds, the majestic clouds
nice.
Outside.
That's,
or nighttime.
That's beautiful.
You know, the moon or something.
Yeah.
Or you know, if you're on the tarmac, you don't want to be standing there taking a whiz because they can see right in, so they got a little shade you pull down.
Oh.
Louvered nice. Shade. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. So I thought, wow, this is great. And they got these seats, these huge seats that fold all the way down, almost flat into a bed with partitions. So I'm in like the last seat in business class, and I'm sitting next to this Belgian guy. And I knew as soon as I sat down, this wasn't going to go over too well because he's got all his fucking crossword puzzles and magazines piled up in the center console where you put your drinks.
Oh, so he's already establishing.
Yeah, he's already making.
You should have just gone over and pissed on his shit.
No,
marked your territory.
I just grabbed the magazine, smacked him in the fucking face.
He was like a Jean-Claude Van Damme looking dude.
Yeah, Belgian French guy. So I sit down and, you know, say hello and, you know, we get underway, have a couple cocktails. And they turn off all the lights, and we go all the way down into our position. We're flattened out, and I'm trying to sleep. And
did you bring your CPAP?
Yeah, but I didn't bring it on the plane. So we have to fly to Copenhagen, Denmark, and then from there to Dusseldorf. So we're flying down there, and I got to get up to take a piss. And I'm trying to get my seat up, and it won't, you know, go up. So I get up, and I'm looking, and I start pressing the buttons. I'm pressing. I look up, and the Belgian's staring me right in the eyes. I just realized I was pressing his buttons. I'm making him go up and down like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. It's okay, monsieur. All right, cool. So I go over and I get the flight attendant. I'm like, dude, come over here, man. This thing's fucked up. My whole light panel's out. So he starts pressing buttons. The dude looks up again. The flight attendant's pushing the guy's buttons. So now the guy's really pissed, right?
No pun intended. Yeah.
Yeah. Pushing his buttons, right?
Right.
So we get done with that. I finally get the seat working. I just lift it up. There must have been a short underneath, and it starts working. Get it working, lay it flat. Everything's cool. And I decide I want to move it because I noticed my feet got trapped underneath the seat in front of me because I lifted the leg up too high, and my foot got stuck underneath it. So I go to get it out. And I can't get my foot out. So I'm like, God damn it. And the buttons won't work. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm pressing this guy's button. And I'm laying on my left side, so I can't really see what I'm doing. And I'm afraid I'm going to press his button. So I get my foot out, get off the thing. Again, my light panel's out. Everything's fucked up. So I walk back there to the flight attendant. I say, hey, look, we spent a lot of money for these tickets. This goddamn chair's got to be working. You got to come and fix it. So he goes over there. He's got a flashlight. He's underneath my chair like it's an automobile. And the whole plane is dark. And he's got this flashlight. And he pulls some lever. And the entire chair collapses right on top of him. And his legs are kicking. And I'm yelling at the other flight. Lift it up. Lift it up. And the fucking Belgium guy's looking at us again. What the? You know, I could see him getting really pissed. So they pull the chair up. The guy gets from underneath. I'm like, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. They get it pulled up into like the Z kind of shape, and they go, how's that? What do you mean, how's that? Oh, it's not good. Oh. So I sit down. I'm like, fine. You know what? I'll just sit like this the rest of the ride. You're going to fucking give me cocktails all night. We'll take care of you. About 10 minutes later, they find me another seat. It turns out that seat's broken too. But the problem with that seat is it's missing some cushions. So they got to take the cushions off of my chair, put them on this chair up in the second row. They bring me over. I sit down with all my shit, buckle in. And the guy sitting next to me is a guy I work with named Pete. He sits up and he's got his big Bose headphones on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are you doing here? I lean over. My chair's broken. You broke your chair? Really loud. Everybody, shh, quiet. Shh. Monsieur, shh. What the fuck? So that was my trip to Denmark. Not a fucking wink of sleep. So I'm up all day. We get on the plane at like 10 o'clock at night. Fly there. Get there. It's daytime, right? We got to get on this little plane and fly to Dusseldorf. And when we get to Denmark, you wouldn't believe this fucking airport, Scott. It was like they decided to take a gigantic fucking IKEA and put a bunch of plane terminals on the end of it.
Nice.
It was a huge IKEA. There must have been, it was a giant shopping mall. And I swear to God, these fucking Europeans were the most rudest people I've ever run into. Everywhere you walk, the people would just, they were just standing right in the fucking middle of the hallways.
Oh, I can't stand
congregating,
that.
Just staring, looking around, and they won't move. They won't go, and you're dragging luggage and stuff. And, that was the other thing. So we get on the flight from Copenhagen to Dusseldorf. we get to Dusseldorf. We're standing by the baggage, and we're sitting there for about an hour. And we just sit there and watch the last three bags go around and around. And guess what? No fucking luggage.
Nice.
The luggage doesn't get put on our flight during the transfer because in Chicago, they don't have the same luggage handling system as they do in Europe. So we got to wait till the next flight that we get our luggage. So our luggage doesn't come in till like 10 or 9 or 10 o'clock, supposedly.
They deliver it to your hotel then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it doesn't show up. We get to the fucking hotel and go have dinner, get really fucked up, wait for our shit. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I go, you know what? I'm going to bed. And they in the airport, they give you, Lufthansa gives you like an overnight bag. And in there is a little tiny double XL t-shirt. I'm thinking, well, I could stretch this out, right? No underwear or nothing. Mm-hmm. So I got to lay in bed naked with this t-shirt that just goes up to my belly button. I can't pull it past my belly button.
You should have took a photo, man. We could put it on the website.
Unbelievable. So here's the other thing. It's the hottest week in the history of Germany.
Ugh.
In Iserlohn. And the hotel doesn't have air conditioning.
How hot are we talking?
We're talking 91 degrees,
100%. They don't have air conditioning.
They don't have air conditioning. I'm like, what the fuck? No fan or nothing. So I'm laying there without my CPAP. I'm laying there in this little half fucking t-shirt that looks like a onesie. No underwear. Laying on this hard. And you remember those beds, you know. They call it a twin bed, but it's about 2 feet wide.
Right, right.
80 inches long. And they don't have any sheets, you know, to cover yourself up. Just a duvet with a down filling. And the pillows are like fucking marshmallows. You can't even bunch them up into a shape to put your head on them. So I didn't sleep the entire night. 7 in the morning, they tell me the luggage is finally there. So I literally was up from 7 o'clock or whatever it was on Saturday morning all the way till, what would it be, Monday morning, pretty much.
That's brutal.
Pretty much, the whole time. And then I got to go into these fucking integration tests.
How hard is that, though? Integration
test. Oh, it was a piece of cake. Yeah. I fucking aced everything.
Fucking A.
And they actually... A huge debate was launched about an idea that I put in play 5 years ago with SAP. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that what I put in, this director of planning there says to me, Molly, it's very clever what you came up with. Why is the whole company not doing the same thing you are?
Nice.
I don't know. Because we were the pilot, and this is the way I thought it should be done. I said, I know what it is. It's this French guy that influenced Italy and Spain, and everybody adopted it, that way of receiving material. And he says, well, it's wrong. They got to change it to your way. I'm like, it's not my way. It's standard implementation.
So when do you get a bonus check, man?
I ain't going to get shit.
Yeah.
Not shit, man. I'll get to keep my job, I guess, for another year. So, you know, so anyway, the whole week wasn't too bad because I was with some people that I like a lot and get along with very well.
Did you hook up with Hans?
Yeah, hooked up with Heinz. They had this dinner planned for Monday. So I walk into this thing on Monday, the integration test, there's a cake there for me. Happy birthday, John, and all this stuff. I'm like, hey, it's not my birthday. What? Well, what do you mean it's not your birthday? I go, tomorrow's my birthday. Oh, chill. Who told? What? It's not. Are you sure it's not the second? Well, I'm pretty sure. It's my fucking birthday.
It's a long time ago. I don't know how they kept records back then.
It's 44 years ago. So, okay. Well, let's put it back in the refrigerator. And everybody's congratulating me, and I got to give them the bad news. And in Germany, apparently, your birthday means a lot. to people. I mean, so the next, you know, the next day, here comes, we get through Monday, Tuesday, we have, it's, you know, it's,
come
my,
on,
it's,
spit it
it's
out,
my,
man.
It's my birthday. So I walk in, there's the cake. People from all over the company that I've met come to visit me to wish me happy birthday.
Nice.
That I haven't seen in years.
Did they put the little card together where they all signed it? And
no.
That's
no,
like an American thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
did you get one of those when you got back?
No.
Wow.
I haven't been back to work yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So they decided to postpone this big dinner that they had planned for Monday, and they postponed it till Tuesday at this Greek restaurant in Germany. And I said, hey, it's my birthday. I want to invite some people. I want Heinz to be there and this other guy and another guy, this guy Buchgeister and some other dude. And hey, yeah, it's your birthday, whoever you want. I had the best fucking time, Scott. We were drinking ouzo. I was sitting it off with the owner of the company of the restaurant. He was pouring me ouzo and beers and brought me a special gigantic dessert and all this stuff. And Heinz was there getting all fucked up. And he starts going off on somebody that works for the company. He's really high-ranking dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is this guy high-ranking, he's about 6'9".
Was he there?
He shows up at some point. Sits down, has a couple of beers, eats some food, and then just splits. But it turned out to be an okay trip, but they really didn't need me because a lot of the stuff that has to get done is going to have to get done here. Anyway, so flying back, we got to fly back out of Dussel to Copenhagen. And instead of like a regular plane, they get us on a bus and they drive us out to the middle of the tarmac. And we got to get on this plane that has those stairs that just fold out onto the right onto the ground.
Nice.
We get up inside this thing and I'm like, oh, I start panicking right away.
Why?
Because it's this little fucking tiny tube.
Does it have jets?
Yeah, it had jets. But it was like a Lear or Falcon type jet. And it was really small. So I get in the thing and I sit down and I'm like, we're supposed to be business class, right? I sit down in my seat up against the window and there's a sign two rows in front of me on the seat and it says, from this row forward is business class. And they're exactly the same fucking seats. And I'm thinking, how could it be business class? They're no further apart from each other than my seat is. What is the difference? The difference is
the service.
They got shrimp cocktail.
Nice.
Or something. Yeah.
And alcohol, probably.
No, we got it too. Yeah. I had a beer. So I don't know what the fuck the difference was, but we fly that in and finally get to our plane and turns out I had a pretty decent person next to me who was an American chick. Who's in Denmark all the time, I guess, and she's flying home, except she had to get up like 37 times. And I kept laying my bed down so I can, you know, recline, and my feet are straight out. And she goes, taps my shoulder, and I'm like, okay. She's like, no, it's okay. No, it's fine. I put it back up, and I'm thinking, I'm waiting for it to break. She comes back, I lay it back down. So about the third time, she's like, don't put it up. I'm like, okay. So I don't put it up, and she's like, got to straddle me to get over me. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
Because my legs are straight out. So she's
got to.
Well, she's like my age. And yeah, she's okay looking. She's married, has kids. And she's got to straddle me in the most, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus
erotic
Christ.
Way.
Yeah. I'm thinking she's going to fall on top of me. This isn't going to look good. I said, you know, next time I'm going to just do the buttons. And okay, yeah, all right.
It's a good idea.
So while I was on there, I saw I started to watch one movie, and I started bawling so much I had to turn it off.
You were crying?
Yeah, during the opening credits.
Of what?
Dan in Real Life.
Really?
Yeah.
You were bawling during the credits.
The tears were coming out of my face. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me, man? Just in the opening credits, man.
So did you have to turn it off?
I had to turn it off.
So you didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
Well, why not?
I couldn't watch it because it's about this single dad and his three girls. And they're all at different ages where my daughter's in, like, the middle age. And there's a younger girl, like, in fourth grade, one that's, like, in the middle preteens, and then one that's a full-blown teenager. You know, she's, like, 17 or 18. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know what the fuck I'm crying about. But he sees his daughter in this one scene kissing some dude in like a coffee shop, and he starts slamming his hands on the windows like, hey! And the whole place looks at him, and he's like, oh, totally embarrasses himself and his daughter, and I think that's going to be me. Yeah. So like, it was tugging on the heartstrings, so I couldn't watch it because I didn't want anybody seeing me sit there. You know, I had a rough week. No air conditioning the whole fucking week.
No sleep.
Everywhere we had to go, we had to walk 37 miles. Every fucking restaurant took 3 hours.
Wow. How was the food?
Food was pretty good.
Because the food in Amsterdam sucked.
Oh, yeah. We went to this one place called Kloon Ek. It's literally 100 feet from the hotel. You could see it from my room. I go, let's go there. Let's go. You know, everybody's like, oh, I don't know. They take only cash. So what? Let's go. We got to eat. We get there. We have this asparagus, potato, and ham au gratin casserole thing. It was like one of the best fucking meals I had.
Whoa.
It was unbelievable with these big, tall Isserlohner beers, man. Unbelievable.
Isserlohner. Give us some German.
Ein still Wasser, bitte?
Schnell. Ja. Wach schnell.
Hurry up. Get me my still water and make it snappy.
All right, John, the other thing that happened, McClellan came out with a book, right?
Yeah.
We always wondered about McClellan. We're like, well, yeah. This guy seems like a bright guy. What the hell is he doing? He's got it. We had discussions about he's got to know, right? He's got to know that he's catapulting the propaganda. Writes a book. It's on the bestseller list. Also, Obama clinches the nomination while we were out.
Wow.
But one more thing to talk about before we get to the TTN format. The block party, John. The block party. My block had a block party.
Yeah, right.
It was shitty weather. It was hot and rainy. So we set up on my front porch. And I thought that went pretty well. And the stage sound I thought was really kick ass. I really dug it.
Yeah.
Monitor wise, I couldn't hear my vocals, but I could hear you guys pretty well.
Yeah,
but I didn't sing too much anyway because I was, you know, I was a little under the weather there, John. But we did the Red Bull and vodka,
which is probably not a good thing to do when you're sweating a lot. Is a diuretic and alcohol,
right?
Because it pulls more water out of you.
Does it?
Yeah, man, my kidneys were killing me.
Yeah, but we put ice in it, you know.
When I got home, man, I fell asleep and I woke up in the middle of the night. My kidneys were killing me. And I got up to take a leak and it was like, it was like dust came out.
A little powder.
Yeah. So I just started chugging water. I'm like, that can't be good. That can't be good. And I don't know if that's even better. But I just started chugging water, and I took something. I can't remember what it was, and went back to bed and woke up feeling okay.
So we got the front porch, but there's not a lot of garages. The garages are all behind the house. They're not on the street. The only house that has a garage is right across the street from us. So people are kind of hanging out there because they set up the food in that garage and because it could rain at any moment.
As it
so
did.
It was kind of weird. We're playing on my front porch and the audience is across the street.
Yeah.
In this garage on the driveway. And we would play, and I got to tell you, I've never seen a lamer crowd
I know.
In the history of the world.
It's like, but bow!
Is our shit on? Yeah.
Is this on? Hello?
Can you hear me now? What? Nothing. But then when we finished our set and we walked over there, everybody's telling us what a
fucking awesome. Blah.
But no reaction when we played. Oh, and then the other thing I found out is after we tore down and you guys left, I hung out with my neighbors, the woman who ran the block party. She's not going to do it next year, but she ran it this year. And the only reason we played is because my wife and I are very quiet. We don't socialize a lot on the block.
Really?
Partially because we're so busy. I mean, she's busy. I'm busy. I come here for practice. We got podcasts. I got school.
Don't give me that shit.
I don't hang out on the block, you know? So there's this perception of us that we're very quiet and...
fucking psychos is what they think.
Well, yeah, hey, that's man. What I found out. What Look I found out is the only reason we played at the block party is because our neighbor was concerned because she hadn't seen my wife in like 6 months. So she called our house to make sure that she wasn't like chopped up and in the fridge downstairs. and then when my wife answered the phone, her excuse was, oh, you know, last year I heard your husband was in a band, and we were wondering if he'd like to play at the block party. So she just used that as an excuse to see if my wife was still okay.
Yeah.
And then she was probably disappointed when my wife said, oh, yeah, they would love to play. You know, all right.
Let me
I guess
check
so.
Into it. I don't know if we have the right date.
So the expectations were so goddamn low.
Yeah.
Just based on their impression of me walking around the neighborhood with my dog like a psycho or something.
Hang on, Sloopy.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's the only reason we played is because they were concerned about my wife's well-being. And what does that say about what they think of me, you know?
Motherfucker.
But they did say the band exceeded all expectations because I assume they expected us to totally blow. Like, look at the guy walking his dog. He can't even walk his dog in a straight line. His band's got to suck.
Well, you got to see you walking around, though, man. Rick and I were observing you. And
at the block party?
Yeah. You ever see like the, you remember that Sasquatch?
Oh, the video?
Video?
Yeah.
Where he stops and looks and he's kind of lanking and he stops and looks. That's you, man.
Is that something I can work on? I mean, can I work on my style? My walking style.
I'm looking and I'm like, where's he going now? Where's he go? Oh, I see. He's moving the car so you can move yours, Rick. Okay, good. And then he pulls back and then I see you walk and disappear into the garage. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going into the house. When he comes back out, I'll ask him if he could pull up on the grass. No, you're nowhere. All of a sudden, out of the garage comes this big fucking pile of speakers. And your amp and a bag on top, and you're wheeling it down the sidewalk.
Yeah, I'm getting ready, man.
And I don't know, you're like a burst of slowness.
I was cautious because the thing can tip very easily. It's top heavy. It was very cautious. Slow and steady wins the race,
John. I just don't understand how your knuckles...
Slow and steady wins.
How your knuckles don't bleed. They must be calloused from dragging on the ground. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
So I'm thinking, I wonder if these neighbors know him, you know, because the way you're walking around with that goatee and your shaved head and your Rottweiler and your pit bull, and I'm thinking, yeah, they must think this guy's a lunatic, man. I never thought to ask anybody, though.
If I had tats, I think that would send it over the edge. Like right one right on my forehead.
A swastika?
Or that shit that some guys do where they put ball bearings in their forehead.
Yeah.
So they have little horns.
You should probably do a spider on your face. A big tattoo of a spider on your face.
On the back of my head. That would be
cool. Yeah, yeah.
With the web and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter would like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought we did pretty good considering the heat.
Yeah, it was hotter than hell and a very cramped, tight space, but the stage sound was good. Everybody, you know, they didn't seem to enjoy it, but they told us they did.
And then,
I don't know, maybe is that because they're so frightened of us that, oh, yeah, you guys were great. Yeah.
Don't kill me.
Right. That could be the other thing going on.
Actually, is that really your wife? Where's the real one? It was pretty funny. Rick would jump like right into the middle of your porch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to pose.
To pose, yeah.
When he's doing his solos.
No doubt. I thought he should have been stationed right in the middle from the beginning. But no, he wanted to hide behind the post.
Because he's part of the band, you know? Yeah, I don't understand why why he hid behind the post.
Oh, so my wife took a bunch of photos, and I was going to grab one and throw it up on the web. So I got a... my PC upstairs, it's a Windows PC, and I want to bash my fucking head in. It doesn't recognize when I plug the camera in, so I got to take the camera downstairs, unload the photos on the PC, hook my iPod up, put the photos on my iPod, take my iPod upstairs, and move the photos to the PC. But it gets halfway through, and it gives me this cyclical redundancy error.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So my iPod hard drive starts crashing in front of my eyes. And I managed to save all the photos except for the ones that she took of us on the porch. Like, there's, like, individual shots of us on the porch, but not, like, a band shot of us on the porch.
Well, they're still on the camera, right?
No, see, when I do that, I cut and paste, you see?
So? They're still on the camera. On
right.
They're
not.
SD card.
No, I cut and paste. I don't copy and paste, I cut. So it deletes.
So they're gone?
Them. Yes.
Oh, dude, why would you do that? It's digital, you'll always see backups.
Here. If I don't cut and paste... I got to go back and delete the photos anyway because it takes up the memory of the camera.
Dude. What kind of memory you got in that camera?
I don't know. I don't want to
like
talk about it.
Like 1 megabyte?
I don't know.
Hey, you know, it's a new age. You can get like
an 8. I was so upset. I went to the Apple site and I priced a Apple. You know, I talked to my cousin.
Do you say a Apple or an Apple?
Whatever. The Mac. Something. They call it something.
I have a Mac. You want it?
Well, you don't like
it? I got a G4 sitting in my closet.
Yeah, give it to me.
I don't know what the hell to do with it.
Why not? I'm so sick of Windows. I'm sick of it. I talked to my cousin. He's like, you know, I have a G4 or whatever for a year, and I love it so much, I went and got a MacBook. I'm never going back to Windows. And now this Vista, I mean, Vista's a piece of shit.
I know. I've been thinking about getting a Mac.
So I priced it out. It's like 3 G's. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Christ. 3 G's.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
They are expensive, man. And the good thing is, though, that because of, what is it, Linux?
Linux.
Or Unix. It's got a Unix kernel.
Really?
Yeah. You can run it by itself and run Unix software on it.
Sweet. That's sweet, John.
Well, you know what you could do is get rid of Windows and put a Linux operating system in.
I was thinking about that. I'm really It'd be what, a day of work? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Well, they got these loaders. Go on dig, and they got loaders. Loaders, yeah.
Loaders.
I'm chewing ice, and I'm talking, and I don't want to do like you did on my best of.
What?
And you choked on an ice cube.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Remember when Zach was on the show?
No. Of course I remember.
On the
Zach.
Best of, man.
Yes, the best
and
of
did,
course,
I did
yes.
The best of, and you're choking on an ice cube, and you
right
shot
out.
It out.
Yeah, I shot it
That's
out.
That's one of my
Heimlich.
Most favorite.
I did the Heimlich on myself.
It was one of my most favorite moments.
Favorite
moments on TTN. Anyway.
All right, John, let's do comments and email, take a quick break, and get
comments
back to the show.
And email. Okay, I got some comments.
Comments.
All right, Scott. While you were away, great show last week. While you guys were away, I stopped by your houses to make sure everything was okay. John, great job on the remodel. Scott, I hope you didn't mind me feeding and watering the dogs. Beautiful animals. Tet! That's from Pat McGroin. Hey, John, Scott is right about the fat burger. It's awesome, and the egg works somehow.
I told you.
Yeah, he's also right about the foundation room.
When am I not right?
I don't know.
That's redundant to say I'm right. You say Scott.
Excuse me. I spent a lot of time there when my friend was the manager. He manages a strip club now, so I spent a lot of time looking at naked women. Keep up the good shows. 3 hours goes by so fast with you guys. That's from Amberance. You know who she is, right?
Of course. We've met her.
And Polly B says, once again, we love you on a nearly monthly basis. Keep it up, you loons. Dr. Taco says, greetings, and this is from MySpace. Greetings, John and Scott. I've been a listener for about 2 years, and between you guys, mediocre show, sick and wrong, and yeah, dude, I think I might just become insane. You guys are the perfect example of what two dyslexic, bipolar, stupid, smart guys can do in their free time. Don't stop doing the show, at least till I beat Ben Stein to a pulp using Lindsay Lohan as a blunt object. Always, Dr. Taco.
Right on, Dr. Taco. Right on. Oh, that's nice, John.
But I'm not dumb.
Oh. I thought you hit it.
Great show. I look forward to every week's installment. Who would have thought I'd find rational atheists doing a podcast in my own backyard? Tet anus. That's from Barbie or Sexy George. Tasty says...
Where is he? Where is he located, do you know?
I'm not sure.
It's somewhere around Chicago, right? Like Oak Park or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tasty, I read that.
Tasty says, hey, TTN, I wanted to let you guys know I always listen to your AKC music breaks. Fast forwarders are jack fucks and not respectful.
I guess I'm a jack fuck because on other podcasts I fast forward.
Nice. Yeah. You guys put a great spin on songs I hate. I do prefer Scott singing over Rick, though.
Wow.
Really? Uh-huh, yeah.
Did he hear Working Man?
I think that's why he likes it.
Ugh.
I hope I don't inflate that bald head too much. Love you guys.
It's impossible. It's already
Taste
inflated
tea.
To the max.
I know. Just look at it. Along with it goes with the arms.
Ooh, John. Pipes. I like to call them pipes.
Yeah, pipes.
I refer to them as my pipes.
It's weird because your elbows don't really bend, you know? They're like tubes. Go all the way down. They kind of drag
right, right.
behind
Knuckles
you.
Knuckles bleed. Yeah. 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 We've heard
blah,
it. Okay.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
Anyways, I forgot to mention a beautiful email from Haggis Vitae. And she says, yeah, don't say anything about it. But I got to say, it was like a 5,000-word essay on TTN. And
it's very touching. Now, if you're going to cry, that's something to cry about.
That,
okay,
I did,
not
dude.
Some movie.
I started reading
on
it.
On an airplane.
Which I did watch another movie, and we'll get to that later. But I got to tell you, man, that was a very heartfelt email from Haggis Vitae, and I just want to say thanks for that. It was fan fucking tastic. And I don't think we need to share it.
That's what it's all about, John. That's right. It's very personal. It's a personal matter.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Email, John. We got this one from Tom. Tom says, great show. I love your show, guys, but why do you have to ruin every movie you review?
What?
I don't know what that means. How do we ruin it? Is it because of spoilers? Do we give out spoilers? So we ruin it?
Ruin.
How could we ruin movies is what I want to know.
I don't know.
I can see how an Adam Sandler can ruin a movie, but how can
being in it. Right.
How can we ruin movies?
That is one big pile of shit.
So, Tom, get back to us. Tell us specifically how we ruin movies. All right, another email news. We have a TTN correction, John.
Oh.
Another one from Phil the bass player.
Mm.
It's kind of condescending, but I'll get through it. Actually, it was addressed to you. Hey, John, how goes it? I guess you were the one who fucked up the pronunciation. Just getting into TTN 133, good to have a new episode. The clip shows were entertaining, but it's good to have you guys back. Because I guess those are subpar.
Yeah, yeah.
You've talked about this guy from DC Comics, Mark Chiarello. Is that how it's spelled? I have to say something about your pronunciation of this name. It's pronounced Chiarello, said smoothly. So let me try that again. I'm sorry, it's not Chi, it's Key.
So you fuck it up.
Chiarello, said smoothly. Who's that smooth enough, John? Chiarello. Chi is pronounced Key in most Italian names and words. Conversely,
he would know because he's a fucking wop.
C-I is pronounced Chai as in Chio. Arrivederci. And Leonardo da Vinci. And he underlines where, you know, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, get it? If you ever have a question about an Italian word, phrase, or name, feel free to ask. Later, Phil.
To X.
And again, Phil, always with the good corrections because we learned something.
Yeah, yeah. I did not know that.
Yes, I did not know that. So it's Chiarello.
Yeah.
Chiarello. We should get confirmation.
I don't want to say. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what if Phil's wrong? You know, because it's supposed to be pronounced Cheney, but it's Dick Cheney, not Cheney.
I don't know. What if he's Italian? It might be Keeney.
Right. It could be Keeney. Keeney. Yeah.
I got a bunch of birthday wishes on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And one of them was from T-Bone, Phil's brother. And I asked him to be on the show.
Yeah.
With Phil.
Yeah.
And he said, I prefer to be a listener. You guys seem to do just a fine 3-hour show. You've got to be shitting me. I don't think you need another guy in the studio just laughing almost to the point of pissing his pants and not really adding much else unless you need someone to fill that spot, of course. I'm sure Phil would be available, though, and I am still an avid listener. Love it. Rock on. T-Bone.
T-Bone.
But T-Bone is a pretty funny dude. I've told this story before where when we're playing Kangaroo Court at a different bass player named John, another John. And he's younger than me. He's probably like in his early 30s or something. But he looks like he's about 50 years old, right? And he's up there jamming away, and T-Bone says, who's playing bass? Is that Rick's dad? And it was one of the funniest fucking things I ever heard. So
right.
T-Bone's pretty funny, you know? He's got that timing.
Oh, I thought he was serious, but he was making
no,
a joke.
No, he was joking.
Oh, I thought he was serious. I've heard that story a thousand times, and I thought
I can't
that
believe you think that
he was serious.
Is that Rick's dad? No. He's being facetious.
Facetious. Okay. I get it now. I get it. Right on.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to T-Bone.
Well, we have another email, but we'll wait till Phil gets in because it's a Phil McCracken correction.
Phil McCracken.
From the Papooch with the film. And then one last email from Jeremy. He also had his house broken into.
What?
He recommends that I get a shotgun. He lives in Texas. If I lived in Texas, I'd fucking get a shotgun, too.
No doubt.
He says, I have a shotgun now and have been itching to shoot somebody in the ass. One of the few good things about Texas is that you can shoot someone trespassing on your property without any legal recourse.
Nice.
I recommend you get a shotgun, too. The mere sound of a shotgun being racked. Is that it? Racked?
Yeah.
Will scare the shit.
When you're racking up a load.
Out of any intruders. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah. Well, but they broke in when you weren't there.
Right. But, like I said, if I wasn't in Vegas, I would have been working from home, and this motherfucker, unless he knew that I wasn't there, which kind of implicates some of my neighbors, which I'd rather not think about, but if he just randomly walked in, I would have been home if I wasn't in Vegas, and he would have walked in on me.
Now, my wife is saying that they caught the guy.
What?
They caught some intruder. Yeah, you got to talk to her. They caught some dude. Because she's connected to the
Park
to that
Ridge
area.
Here, yeah, no doubt.
So,
yeah, I'll have to talk to her.
Yeah, they caught somebody.
All right, John, so we'll save the Papooch email for when Phil gets here because it's a Phil correction.
Yeah.
And we can, take a break? You ready for a break?
Sure.
Lakers are getting crushed because they ain't getting any goddamn calls.
Yeah.
And now they finally got a technical call on them because they started complaining.
Right.
Crushed, John. Crushed. Kobe gets molested when he takes it to the hoop.
What did I say, man? I knew you were going to just, you know, it's amazing.
What is amazing?
You're derailing the whole show based on watching this goddamn game.
What do you mean derail? I made one comment about the NBA Finals.
Hey, could you turn on the NBA Finals so I can watch it? You know, with the sound down.
Yeah, I'm just watching. That's all. You know. Just an observation I'm making. Derek Fisher with the steal. Nice.
Nice, yeah.
Well, you know, the mediocre show, when the Flyers were in contention for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
The first 40 minutes of their show was just them pretty much not doing anything except watching TV. So at least I keep talking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Right on.
Right. All right, this cut is from practice. It's I'm thinking now we've played it before. I haven't had time to set anything up from the last two practices. I guess I could have done something from Germany, but yeah. I got to tell you though, Skype was really kick ass.
You didn't talk to me.
You weren't online.
Oh, that's true.
I got to talk to the kids and the wife via Skype with the video camera.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And it worked out really well. Anyway, this is from practice. This is an REO tune. Check it out. We'll be right back after this break.
Heard it from a friend who... What do I say? Wait, it's like this, right? Yeah. Heard it from a friend who... Heard it from a friend who... Heard it from another, you've been messing around. You're out with everyone. You're out with everyone. Take it on the road.
right on.
Were you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I forgot about a quick story. Last weekend I was at a party outside, a bunch of people I don't know. It was hot. I found the only shade I could. So I'm with a group of people that I know of, but I really don't know. And they start talking about the presidential election. This is right when Obama wrapped up the nomination. And they kept saying over and over that Obama's not going to win because the country is not ready. And then they would look at me and say, for a black president. So, like,
why would they look at you?
If I got the feeling like if I wasn't there, they would say, the country's not ready for a nigger. All right. There's no way a nigger is going to run the country.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, right? So they're going through all this shit about why he is. There's no way he's going to win. And so I'm listening to this, and I'm like, should I comment? Should I say something? I don't know these people really well. So I thought of an approach. Here's how I'm going to approach it. So I told a story. I told a story about a captain of an all-male Yale male cheerleading team. I told the story of a guy who did drugs for 20 years, who his dad bailed him out of everything, who lost at business. He was a loser. Any company he ran went right into the toilet.
Yeah.
He went to a Christian church that specialized in exercising the homosexuality from people, converting them from homosexual to heterosexual. Uh-oh, what's that?
I don't know.
They're like, I had them in awe. I'm not telling the story very well right now, but they were on the edge of their seats. Who is he talking about?
Yeah.
So I said, if the country can elect for two terms a known homosexual. Oh, I also said that his daughters were not of natural causes. They were of infertility, so he may not even be the father. As far as I know. So I made a little stuff up. But they were looking at me like, who's he talking about? And I said, so if America can elect a homosexual for two terms, why can't it elect a black man? And their jaws hit the floor. They're like, you're shitting me. I said, go out on the web. It's all on the web, man. It's all on the web.
Oh, like everything on the internet is true.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
Fucking homos.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. I got a good web story. All right, John, I don't know if you heard this, but the police state has begun.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that? Sure,
I haven't heard it, but we've talked about it.
Instead
over and
of actually fighting crime, Washington, D.C.'s police department is going to turn into the 21st century version of the guys who man the checkpoints along the Berlin Wall.
Nice.
D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier announced a military-style checkpoint yesterday to stop cars this weekend in a northwest Washington neighborhood inundated by gun violence, saying it would help keep criminals out of the area. So starting on last Saturday, officers will check drivers' identification and ask whether they have a legitimate purpose to be in the Trinidad area, such as going to the doctor or church, or visiting friends.
Oh, my God.
If not, the drivers will be turned away. Because, of course, freedom of movement means nothing to the Gestapo Soviet security forces of the Metropolitan Police Department, John. The police state has officially begun.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. What kind of police work is that? Yeah, I'm too lazy to actually...
Why would you want to be a cop? You got to sit there and check. What? I got to do what? I'm a cop. I enforce laws that protect and serve people. Not the Gestapo tactics.
It's unbelievable.
That's
fucked up. Unbelievable.
You know what, Scott?
Yes.
You just pull up and you say, yes, sir. No, sir. Whatever you say, sir.
Hey.
Yeah. You and Jeremy, both. I say, fuck that, civil disobedience.
Yeah. Hey, how about it's none of your business? Who are you? I don't have to tell you shit.
Who the fuck are you, copper?
I got my seatbelt on, all my lights work.
Yeah, and you're going to get...
Right. That's the thing. They're going to take me out of the car and tase me. They got no right to ask me what the fuck
you
I'm doing.
Gitmo. Gitmo.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That's in Washington, D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Soon to be in a neighborhood near you, John.
It's fucked
up. I'm sure.
And you got people going, so what's the big deal? If you got nothing to hide, what's the big deal?
They're dopes.
That's the attitude I fucking hate the most. Because you know what? It's going to be, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Until they fucking come after you, man.
Right.
Wait, no, I'm a good law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, they came after the homos. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
They went after the Jews. I didn't say anything. They went after the blacks. I didn't say anything. Then they came after me.
And then I started crying like a little baby.
Because the rules change.
That's right. Unchecked power, Scott. Unchecked power.
It's a goddamn joke. And this, religious news, John. I don't know if you heard this. Jordan's public prosecutor has summoned Danish cartoonist Kurt Vestergaard and the editors of 10 Danish newspapers to appear in Jordan to answer charges of blasphemy and threatening the national peace because of a cartoon.
But they didn't do it.
Of Mahama reprinted.
Mahama.
I'm going to refer to him as Mahama. Because I don't want, you know, if we say his real name, then they'll come after us. Reprinted in Danish newspapers earlier this year.
Reprinted?
Yeah, whatever. Jordanian courts have not issued an indictment, but get this. The prosecutor is attempting to use the case to create international law against slandering religion.
Oh, my God.
Give
me
a fucking break over a fairy tale.
You motherfucker!
You cocksucker motherfucker! Get a fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker!
We have to do something about cartoons about the Tooth Fairy, John. I think we should make an international law.
You know, when I hear this shit, I gotta tell you, ever since I've embraced my atheism, I think I've become closer to my family as a whole. Every part of my strange mom and all this stuff. When I was more religious, when I embraced religion at some point, it's some part of it, I had this ability to blame God for everything. Why are you doing this to me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have nobody to blame but myself, I have to take responsibility for everything on my own.
And you try to make yourself better.
Yeah. I mean, there's no blaming or there's no God supervising my every movement. It makes me feel so much better being an atheist when I hear fucking stupid shit stories like this, and people actually believe this crap.
Not only believe it, but they get. It consumes their life. They want to kill people for a fucking cartoon.
And I was talking to this Indian guy, Hindu Indian guy, who came over to the States because his father used to beat him and his mother daily. And he was an extreme Hindu. He meditated every day. And this guy says to me, he's like, yeah, man, I came here and I'm like, I'm through with religion altogether. Because
it's more like this, though. I'm through with religion altogether.
I'm through with religion altogether because it's extreme. Although he believes that Barack Obama is a Muslim, an extreme Muslim, and he won't vote for him. Because Rush Limbaugh told him McCain's better.
Is he a citizen?
Yeah. Yeah, I slapped him around a couple of times. So get your shit together.
Jesus Christ.
No, they can't broadcast it unless it's true.
So why did he give up religion?
Are you fucking kidding me?
He gives up religion, but he won't give up a OxyContin addicted dumbass?
Yeah.
Why did he give up religion?
I'm setting him on the straight and narrow. I said, hey, give me your email address. I'm going to send you some shit. and I want you to read it. And I don't want you to just take my word for it. You read it and make your mind up yourself.
It's a guy you work with?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Why?
Because he can fucking make a fucking federal case out of it.
He's not going to make a federal case out of it. He works for me. I'm his boss. I'll fire him.
Which would complicate the issue.
Then
we'll talk to the Weeders because they do anything for a six-pack.
That's right.
Take this guy out, man. There's a pizza and a six-pack in it for...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We got to get Reverend Weed on the show, man.
The Reverend Weed, no doubt.
Who is an ordained minister.
That's right.
And I keep forgetting, we got to get our... I sent you that link. We got to get our ordained ministry, TTN ministry, together.
Atheist ministry?
The atheist ministry, yep.
Yeah. Right, the born-again atheist.
Born-again atheist.
I had the six commandments out of the ten, and then I can't fucking find them.
That's enough.
I got to start
all over
again.
Why do you got to have ten? Six is enough.
Ten's a nice number, you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's metric?
Yeah, it's metric, man.
Everything's based on
ten. It's metric. All right, let's turn to... I got some movie news, and then we can talk about some movies that we saw. You have a movie to talk about, right?
I got two.
Now, earlier I predicted that Sex and the City would be a bomb. Because who's going to see this movie?
Yeah, how wrong were you?
I am so goddamn wrong.
My God, I've never seen so many fucking people at a theater before.
$100 million it's made already.
I know. Can you believe that shit?
The reviews aren't that good. So, for example, surprising no one, Sex and the City is the pits of vulgar, shrill, deeply shadow, and overlong film. That's
shadow?
By the New York.
Deeply shadow?
Did I say shadow? I meant shallow.
Oh.
That's by the New York Times, but it still made $100 million. So I talked to my wife about it, and she said, well, there's really no movies that are marketed towards women. And I thought about that, and I'm like, you're right.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Everything is, you talk about, I want to see boobs and bombs.
And blow up
and
shit.
And blow shit up. I want to see my money on the screen blowing up.
Yeah.
And... That's really the majority of movies are targeted towards that audience.
Outside of Mystic Pizza, there's nothing else for the ladies.
Well, the ladies and the homosexual men, John.
What do you mean? There was
all the women.
I wish I knew to quit you.
And homosexuals are going to this movie in droves. It's unbelievable. So that's what we need to do. We need to come up with some movie that's aimed at women.
Ah, right.
Instant success. Instant.
At women.
Of course, I have no idea what women think or talk like, anything.
Right.
I mean, I could...
Right.
The guys who write Sex and the City are homosexuals anyway. I mean, they're men who write that show. So, I don't know. Maybe we just have to become homosexual.
Maybe we can just suck the wiener.
And then start typing.
Yeah.
Maybe as we're typing, we do that.
Hmm, this is a good wiener.
But we did, my wife also got into a conversation, so I said, okay, well, that would then be the ultimate chick flick, right? But my wife has a problem with the term chick flick. She doesn't believe chick flick exists, and it's degrading to call something a
How
chick flick.
How dare you?
Right, so I remember we had a business trip.
So you need to say chick flick more often.
I do.
I've learned that that kind of annoyance is healthy for a relationship.
Did somebody do a study, or how do you know that?
It's my own study.
Oh, okay. Well, so we started to get into this little... actually, when we went on a business trip once, we spent 4 hours discussing chick flicks, and I was defining what it is. But she still disagrees that there's a thing as a chick flick. And I said to her, go to Google... Put quotes around it. Type in chick flick. I bet you'll get like more than 20 million results.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true.
I heard that same thing yesterday.
Which, when I thought about it, I was like, that is a fucking excellent point. If I'm arguing against chick flicks, I say, hey, how many religious sites are there out there?
Yeah, yeah.
How many... of these other sites, I mean, it's just what somebody believes. How many UFO sites? How many ghost sites? Paranormal sites?
I know, but we're talking about...
astrology sites.
we're talking about chick flick as a definition for culture. It's like a cultural thing.
Yes.
Versus religion based on mythology.
It's a way to define a movie.
Right.
Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back again.
It's like a genre thing.
It's not really a genre because when we discussed it in detail, there are movies that you wouldn't really think are chick flicks. But
well, wait a minute.
It meets the formula of boy meets girl, loses girl, gets girl back again.
It's a sub-genre because there's action and adventure. Sci-fi.
There could be.
Horror.
Yeah. It could fall
drama.
Into, it could fall into any of the
but
genres.
The sub-genre is chick flick.
Right.
It's a chick flick action movie.
I totally agree with that.
It's a
totally.
Chick flick drama.
Right.
That's just a, you know, it doesn't mean it's a dig on a woman at all. Because in my opinion, women rule everything.
Oh, no doubt.
You know? they get control over everything.
Right. How else could Monica Lewinsky get in the Oval Office?
I'll give you an
she's
example.
She's in control.
I work with a guy that he smokes. And he has figured out that his wife is withholding sex from him when he smokes. And she knows about it. So he's learned to smoke at moments when he knows he will not have any chance to be around his wife or get with his wife, if you know what I mean. So he's figured out those cycles in the month.
He's timed it.
That
yes.
he can smoke and he's not going to get any action. And he knows that she has created this environment where if he does smoke, she will withhold sex and... because of the vows and all that stuff, he could stray outside of the relationship and jeopardize it, or he can follow this rule. And I said, well, your wife is actually dictating your freedom.
Here's what I'd do. I would lie down, make my move, got rejected.
Yeah.
I'd start jerking off.
Would you jerk the sauce right on her? Or no?
I'm too lazy to do that.
No, yeah. You would so lean over and just jerk it right on yourself?
Into a sock or something. Maybe I'd do it into her sock. That would get her.
While she's wearing it, you'd lift it up and jerk right into the ankle. All right, speaking of movies, Scott, I saw a couple.
Hold on, one more All movie
right.
story.
No, one more.
Jack Black's Pro, I'm sorry, Jack Black's Poe, is that how you say it? Poe the Panda. Outgunned Adam Sandler's Zoe, the hairdresser.
Zohan.
Black's, well, they say Zoe. Black's cartoon comedy Kung Fu Panda pulled in $60 million in ticket sales. It's the number one movie, while Sandler's Salon Romp, You Don't Mess With the Zohan.
Zohan.
Opened in second place.
Lindsay Zohan.
$40 million. That's unbelievable to me. How many dimwits is that bought that ticket to go see Don't Mess With the Zohan?
I know.
$40 million. What is it, $10 a ticket? So we could say 4 million people?
What's weird is, you know, I run into these, like, really creative people that are way up in companies. And when they find out what we do, like these podcasts and the little movie things you put together that I'm in and the band.
Right.
They can't fucking believe it, and they want to hang with us. When's your next gig? What'd you blah, blah, blah?
Who wouldn't want to hang
know,
with
but
us? Except my neighbors.
What are we doing? Maybe we're in the wrong business
we
altogether.
We are in the wrong business. And that's the other thing you learn when you get older is if you enjoy doing something, pick that to do and do it.
Here's a lesson for you youngins.
Right.
If you really love something, just fucking do it.
Because somebody may one day pay you for it. And how cool would that fucking be? How cool would that be?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, we're on the six-pack, the Mediocre Show six-pack.
That's right. I heard that, yeah.
Actually, it's the seven-pack.
The seven-pack. Mediocre took the listener tunes and created a seven-pack, and we... Managed to get in there.
Yeah, we submitted, instead of an original, we submitted Kids of the Future.
Our version.
Yeah, our version.
You know, like the- U2, they say Helter Skelter by the Beatles, Charlie Manson took it, and we're taking it back.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah, we took it
we
back.
We took Kim Wilde's Kids in America, which the Jonas Brothers bastardized, which we thought was pretty cool, and we took it back and made it better because in there, there's a reference to the Kangaroos.
Right.
So check it out. Listen to that.
The Kangaroos.
On the Mediocre Show's six-pack. And you'll hear us. You'll hear the beginning where Eric Tomorrow talks about, you know, going into it about the cover thing. And, you know, he sounds like, wow, I really don't know these guys, the Jonas Brothers. But anyway, and he plays the song and then he comes back and he says, okay, I Googled this song. And these guys are fucking pedophiles. No, he doesn't say that, but he's concerned.
He's going to be watching us.
Yeah, he's going to be watching us because we're grown men playing a Disney song.
Well, when I emailed him originally, I said I'm going to send you the gayest song we have. Now, you guys have been known to cover the Goo Goo Dolls, but we didn't have a recording of that.
Yeah.
Which is
we
in
could
my
do that.
Opinion,
why don't we do it at practice and then we'll send that to him.
In my opinion, is the gayest song ever. I want to wake up where you are in Scott's car. So unfortunately, and we didn't have a recording.
Well, here's
of that
the thing: you gay danced in front of the band when we played it.
I did.
I just want to make that
That's
clear
redundant.
To the audience.
When I dance, it's always gay.
Gay.
Dance. Right.
All right. So I saw some movies. Can we talk about that?
Of course. Let me hear it.
Oh. So while I was on that flight back home, I started crying during one movie.
Turned
and I turned
it off.
And I turned another one on. Because one of the guys I work with, who's from the UK, he says, hey, mate, you got to see...
Charlie Wilson's Wall.
It's fucking brilliant. And I cannot stand Tom Hanks, but this is fucking brilliant. You gotta see it. So I turned it on. Because we all have our own personal monitor and headsets.
Nice.
So I watched it, and Tom Hanks plays this guy, Charlie Wilson, who is a Democratic congressman from Texas.
Based on a true story,
yeah,
right?
Nobody, this guy is not married. Nobody knows of this guy. But he's on like two major subcommittees. And at some point while he's in Vegas, you know, supposedly doing blow and with all these naked chicks in a hot tub, he's watching something on 60 Minutes. And it's Dan Rather in like, you know, dressed up as an Afghani reporting on the Afghanistan rebels getting annihilated by the Soviets. And he's concerned about it. So he goes to one of these appropriations committees and he tries to get them to double the money that they've appropriated to the Afghanis, which went from $5 million to $10 million. And the weapons they have are like World War II weapons. And this is like in the 80s. And... he hooks up with some chick who's played by Julia Roberts, well-to-do.
I thought Charlize Theron was in that movie. It's Julia Roberts.
No, Julia Roberts. And she says, hey, I want you to hook up with the president of Pakistan to discuss what's going on down there. And he's going to let you in on everything. And this guy in Pakistan just fucking... with the two of his like his generals just rip into Tom Hanks, and it's hilarious how they rip into him about $10 million. What are you fucking stupid? That isn't going to do anything for us. These guys have helicopters that shoot grenades, rocket pelled grenades, and they're killing people and women and children. And they're raping them, and they're doing this and that.
The Ruskies,
yeah. And he's like, what? They're doing what? You need to visit. So he goes and visits, and he meets all these kids with no arms and legs, and he gets really passionate about it. And what's really funny is, what the fuck is that guy's name? Philip
Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. He plays this CIA guy that Tom Hanks ends up hooking up with. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is going to hook him up with the weapons he needs, and Hanks has to get the money. And this is like the largest covert operation ever in history. They appropriate like $500 million somehow for all these weapons, and they're able to shoot these helicopters down. But anyways, everything leading up to this, the characters, my favorite is this Philip Seymour Hoffman character. He's just a fucking maniac in this movie. He's got these fucked up glasses and this big Greek mustache and everything. And here's Tom Hanks, this politician, very, you know, polished politician. He's not married. He's banging everybody. And he's got, like, the hottest chicks working in his office. And he's being investigated by guess who?
Who?
Rudy Giuliani.
Oh.
Federal investigation about him doing blow and
all kinds. Is this when Rudy was a lawyer?
Yeah, he's a federal prosecutor. But anyways, Charlie Wilson gets out of the whole thing.
Who played Rudy Giuliani?
Well, they don't show him. They just talk about him. This moron, Rudy Giuliani. And Tom Hanks surrounds himself, or Tom Hanks, Charlie Wilson, his congressional office, he surrounds himself with all these hot young broads, right? He's got like six of them. And one of them he refers to as jailbait.
Like to her face?
Yeah, it's fucking great, man. The movie's really funny. And he ends up, the Afghans drive back the Soviets. And
hey, you don't want to give away spoilers, yeah, man. We got an email about that.
It's a DVD, so check it out. It's really cool. But anyways, I got a clip of Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's kind of long, but he's in his boss's office, and he has to apologize. And there's some confusion on who's supposed to apologize, because Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is his name is Gust, he told the guy to fuck off, and there's this little exchange here, and Hoffman just goes off about his history as a CIA guy, and here it is.
Tell me to go fuck myself, and I'm supposed to apologize. Yeah. You break my window, I'm supposed to
apologize. The Helsinki job was mine.
The Helsinki job was not yours. If it was yours, you'd be in Helsinki.
Alan Wolf stood in the office.
Alan Wolf is no longer the director.
It was on the
Alan
books.
Wolf is no longer the director of European operations. He does not make those appointments, I do.
Promises were made.
Not by me.
I've been with the company for 24 years. I was posted in Greece for 15. Papandreou wins that election if I don't help the junta take him prisoner. I've advised and armed the Hellenic army. I've neutralized champions of communism. I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish, which should come in handy here in Virginia. And I'm never, ever sick at sea. So I want to know why I'm not going to be your Helsinki station chief.
Your course.
Excuse me.
For Helsinki, I need someone with diplomatic skills. You don't have them.
Is that right?
That is right. And I don't know why the hell I didn't fire you when you broke my fucking window.
Oh, yes, sure you do, Cravely.
Look, Gust.
Yeah, you're fucking Roger's fiance, and you know I know.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah, yeah, you're dignifying her in the ass at the Jefferson Hotel, room 1210. But let me ask you, the 3,000 agents Turner fired, was that because they lacked diplomatic skills as well?
You're referring to Admiral Stansfield Turner?
Yeah, the 3,000 agents, each and every goddamn one of them, first or second generation Americans. Was that because they lacked the proper diplomatic skills? Or did Turner not think it was a good idea to have spies who could speak the same language as the people they're fucking spying on?
Well, I'm sorry, but you can hardly blame the director for questioning the loyalty to America of people that are just barely Americans in the first place.
Yeah, well, I'd like to take a moment to review the several ways in which you're a douchebag.
Get the fuck out of my office.
Yes, sir.
Before I end your career, asshole.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my friend, I'm going to need you for a second.
God damn it! My loyalty? For 24 years, people have been trying to kill me. People know how. Now, do you think that's because my dad was a Greek soda pop maker? Or do you think that's because I'm an American spy? Go fuck yourself, you fucking child.
How was I?
Nice.
It's fucking great, man.
Nice. What was he doing? Is he shooting his windows out?
No, he grabbed... this guy walks in and says, "Hey, is this okay? I can sand it down." He's like, "No." What the guy that walks in before the door gets closed is the guy who just replaced the window that Gust, the CIA guy who's Philip Seymour Hoffman is playing, broke. So he broke it again. He grabbed one of the guy's tools, like a socket wrench, and smashed the window, and it was fucking great. And then he walks over to some chick, and he goes, "How was I?" And she gives him the thumbs up. It's fucking unbelievable. Yeah, you've been dignifying her in the ass. That was the best line. I laughed out loud on the plane. Everybody's looking at me, and I'm slapping my leg and everything. Oh, that movie is excellent, man.
I'm thinking about that clip, and you probably shouldn't have played it with what I'm going through right now. You know, why? I told the story about Panera. And yeah. I'm probably going to go into work, and some idiot is going to try to have a conversation and challenge me on something.
And you're going to smash his
window.
And
I'm going to do a Philip Seymour Hoffman on him.
Dude, it's great because this is his boss. And he's like, "You're not going to fire me." And I'll tell you why. Because I know you're fucking Rob's wife.
Dignifying her in the ass. Yeah.
And there's a great scene where, I don't want to say it, but the brilliance of this character and why I identify with him is because I could never be the Tom Hanks guy. I'm not debonair. I don't
suave.
I'm not slick, you know, but I'm the guy behind the scenes that can make shit happen. I always have and I always do. And he is this guy. And the way he does it, the way he makes sure that he's locked into whatever, is he gets some shit on whoever it is he's dealing with, and then he throws it right in their face. Yeah. "Hey, guess what? I know this and this about you. That's why you're going to put me on this project, because I know you're a piece of garbage, and all I got to do is make a phone call, and you're fucked forever."
Right.
And it turns out that no matter what, if they decide to use this guy, they've always made the right decision because he makes shit happen. And he's got the most fucked up people that he deals with, and he knows just about every... It's just fucking a great movie, man.
So you recommend it?
Yeah.
How many Normans?
How many do we give?
Well, we usually gave four, but said five, and, you know...
Well, if I say five, I'll say four. If we give four, I say three. You know, whatever it is. It's one below, maybe 3.5
below,
for a four.
It's one
and
below.
And 4.5 for a five.
Right.
Because it was great.
That's nice, man. That's
nice. It was great.
I don't think I saw any movies.
I also saw Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
The theater?
Yeah.
In Germany?
No. I saw it here just before I left, and I went to see it when Sex and the City first came out. So it was a week after, right?
Right.
And I went to Movieco, and I had to park on the top fucking floor because valet was full.
Oh, what the!
Can you believe that?
I can't believe that. Was
valet
it like a
was
Friday
full.
Or Saturday
it was
night?
A Friday night. Valet was full. We were out eating dinner, and I said the last minute, you know, let's go see it. All right. Fly over there. Valet's full. Sorry. Drop the kids off, the wife. They're calling me, and it took me like 20 minutes to find a spot and on the top floor of this like 67-floor parking lot. And it was all because of the fucking Sex in the City. Was
your gas
sold
cost
out.
Was probably
yeah.
more expensive than the whole evening.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we saw the movie, and it was okay. Shia LaBeouf plays a good part. But I just, you know, in the Indiana Jones movies, there's this, like, tension. Especially in the first one, there's, like, this tension throughout the whole movie.
Edge of your seat.
Yeah, and he seems to get out of everything, but... You know, it's
how's he going to get?
But
out
how's
of this
he going to do it? You know, what the fuck? And he's very innovative how he does it. In this movie, you're like, what the fuck? Da 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 da! And he's doing the whip, and he's 87 years old, and he's swinging like fucking Tarzan from his whip.
He's not 87.
Well, whatever.
It's like 67, which is close enough.
He can barely fucking run in the movie.
I mean,
you know?
If I'm pissing on my balls in my 40s, what's going on with Harrison Ford, you know?
And Shia LaBeouf is this, you know, like James Dean kind of character. And he carries a switchblade with him throughout the whole movie.
Does he pull it off?
Yeah. Well, a little bit. Are you okay, dude?
The Ice Cube went down the rock.
I sound like the word whore.
But there's a lot of funny parts. It lacked tension. What I found was, I don't know if it's purposeful or what, but there's like a... I don't want to give away anything, but there's some scenes in there, and there's one scene in particular where Harrison Ford says nuclear.
Nuclear?
Instead of nuclear. And it turns out that he was part of, like, the OSS or something. You know, it comes out that he was highly decorated.
Who?
Harrison Ford.
Really?
He's like a highly decorated...
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. He was in the war, and he's got all these connections to covert operations and stuff, and that's why he's so skilled at fighting and all this crap.
Skilled at fighting before the war.
What war?
World War II.
No, he must have been World War I or something, like the OSS. What is that?
It's pre-CIA.
Like pre-CIA. So he was pre-CIA.
Right. It's World War II, though.
No, not in this movie. It's not. It's,
right.
It's in the 50s.
It's in the 50s. But if he was in a war, it would have been World War II is what I'm saying.
No, because based in the 40s was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That was based in 1933.
Oh, was it?
Shithead. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
so,
man.
So, yeah, World War II. So, anyway. And then there's this lame tie-in with Marion. They brought back, what's her name? Is it Karen?
She still looked good on the poster. Or the
yeah,
preview.
But there's some angles where you're like, whoa, she's like smoked a little too much and drank too much. But, you know.
Well, look what it does to Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Just in a year. Look what it does to Amy Winehouse. Well, I've never seen her actually not on drugs, so I don't know what it does.
It's definitely entertaining, but it's all over the internet about this movie. You know, they tie in. It's this Crystal Skull is an alien skull, you know. So it's not like this mythical religious thing. It's now they're talking about outer space. In this
so you don't like that? So they replace one fairy tale with another and
I
you don't like it?
No, it was okay. I mean, it was really entertaining. It was funny. But I didn't buy it as much as I bought the other three. And then there's this one part where he's like, this gopher looks up at him. A gopher. Like from Caddyshack, looks up at him and like makes
really, like
kind
the,
of a
the Muppet like gopher,
a, yeah, like a shoulder shrug or something, then runs back in his hole. And
oh,
I'm like,
Jesus
oh
Christ.
No, why not? When are the Ewoks coming out?
That's
hey,
George
Han
Lucas.
Solo. Yeah, totally.
You know, I couldn't believe that George Lucas wrote the first one. I can't believe that somebody had to help him write the first one. Because he put together Howard the Duck, which is the worst fucking thing I've ever seen.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Are you kidding me? The only good thing was Leia Thompson trying to hit on Howard the Duck in lingerie.
That's what I thought was awesome, that's, man.
What is that, 3-minute scene in a 90-minute snooze fest? And then the Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 are just pitiful. They're fucking awful. They're just horrible. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
So when
horrible.
I found out that he wrote the first Indiana Jones, I'm like, that can't be true. Somebody had to help him. Or, he took all the credit. He, like, maybe even stole it, you know?
Stole it.
Because that can't be right. All right, John, let's move to celebrity
news. Oh, by the way, yesterday?
Yeah.
May 10th, 2000, the W said... I think we agree. The past is over. by the way.
I agree with that. Yeah, the past is over, you dickhead.
And for today,
douchebag.
I'm also not very analytical. You know, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about myself, about why I do things. He said it on June 4th, 2003.
You know, that's the one thing, that's the one reason I think that McCain could be stupider than the W. And it's all based on perception. McCain is a dimwit, in my opinion. He's as dumb as the W. But what the W has going for him is arrogance.
Yeah.
And confidence. He's so goddamn dumb, he doesn't know how dumb he is. So he's got this confidence, and people buy it.
Yeah.
They buy into it. McCain...
he's got that swagger.
He's a little bit smarter than the W.
Some people call it a swagger. I call it walking.
Where he knows when he's stupid, and he feels ashamed by it.
They had this thing on, and I just saw it today, because I was so out of touch. All I had really was my BlackBerry to update me on what's going on in the race and everything. And I guess there was a speech that McCain gave along the same time that Obama was clinching the nomination.
Right, right.
And during the clinching, there was like 800,000 people there to see him. And McCain was at a thing where there was like 122 people.
Yeah.
And he was fucking up the teleprompter.
And he was cackling.
Yeah, cackling. Really weird, and there was silence.
It was really scary.
People were like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I was surprised when the W got elected, but I got to tell you now, John, it's going to be a fucking landslide. I can't see it any... but I was wrong about Sex and the City, so what do I know?
Yeah, right.
But what I'm thinking right now is, if McCain wants debates, he wants to debate Obama. You are not going to look like a bigger idiot when you debate Obama. Why would he want that?
I don't know.
It's going to be a fucking landslide, in my opinion.
I mean, Obama's smart, eloquent.
He knows how to talk.
And he knows how to choose what words at which time.
And McCain spent 5 years in a box by himself. Come on.
Yeah.
That's got to fuck you up. It's got to.
I'm the Straight Chalk Express.
Straight Chalk Express.
I left my wife who was a...
when she had cancer. Oh, no, that was Newt Gingrich. Yeah. I'm sorry.
She was in
a
car.
I'm confusing myself with Newt Gingrich.
She was in a car accident, so when I came back and she had all this surgery, I said, "Oh, you fucking ugly." So I'm gonna marry this young, 18 years younger than me.
Yeah, has a payroll.
And, she's a sugar mama.
Because I'm a Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk Express. That
cocksucker, he is. All right, John, celebrity news. I got a couple celebrity quizzes. I'm going to tell you a quote. You need to tell me who the celebrity is said the quote. First quote: "This feels like my first real marriage. The first one was a show. The second one was a con. And this one is the real deal." Who said that?
William Shatner.
He's on his third marriage. Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Told guests at his wedding.
Oh,
at his wedding. I mean, how fucking low class is that?
Let's talk about my other marriages at my wedding.
The first one was a show. The second one, to Denise Richards, who's hotter than fucking hell, was a con. A con. What does that mean? This one's the real deal. You know what it tells me? In a year, it's going to be divorce.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to support three fucking women. He's so dumb. All right. Next celebrity quote. "A lot of people like to fool you and say that you're not smart if you never went to college, but common sense rules over everything. That's what I learned from selling crack."
What?
Which celebrity said that?
From selling crack.
Yes. That's what I learned from selling crack.
Margot Kidder.
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. All right, another celebrity news, John. I don't know if you heard this. Well, I think you did hear this because we talked about it. A deadly earthquake hit China, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
88,000 people missing or dead. Just a week later, at the Cannes Film Festival, Sharon Stone said something that sparked controversy worldwide. Do you know what she said?
Serves them right. I don't know.
She blamed the Chinese for getting the earthquake due to bad karma.
Oh, Jesus. What a dumbass.
I'm not happy about the way the Chinese are treating the Tibetans because I don't think anyone should be unkind to anyone else. And then all this earthquake and all this stuff happened, and I thought, is that karma? When you're not nice and bad things happen to you? Well, get this, John.
Somebody should punch her in the kitty.
They don't have to. The remarks have caused uproars in China. Of course, after the bad press, Stone apologized for suggesting the earthquake came due to the bad karma. I have a question. Why doesn't fucking Pat Robertson and all these fucking religious assholes have to apologize?
Yeah,
after
right.
they say Katrina was because of the fags and, you know, this was because of that. They don't have to apologize, but Staring Stone has to. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Because they're supporting our country, and the Chinese own more of our treasuries than any country in the world.
So to try to make up for it, she's offered to help with relief efforts and cleanup.
That is one big pile of shit.
Stone says, get this, though. This is a lame apology. My erroneous words and deeds angered and saddened the Chinese people. And I sincerely apologize for this. I'm willing to participate in any earthquake relief activity to do my utmost to help Chinese people affected by the disaster. So the Chinese officials who said on Wednesday she is not welcome. So what they did is they're like, okay, we have this Shanghai International Film Festival. Uninvite her. She's not invited.
Yeah.
So a spokesman for the festival said that Stone, who was photographed on the red carpet last year, is not invited.
No doubt.
So now Sharon Stone's really, you know, she was planning on going to China.
Yeah.
And being on the red carpet. So she has a second apology, John.
No doubt.
There have been numerous reports about what I said in Cannes.
No doubt.
I would like to set the record straight, John, about what I feel in my heart. And end all of the misunderstandings. Yes, I misspoke. I could not be more regretful of that mistake. It was unintentional.
Just show us your beaver.
Yeah, but get this shit. I apologize. Whose words were never meant to be hurtful to anyone. There were an accident of my distraction and a product of news sensationalism. Okay, so it's not her fault anymore. It's because she was distracted, and it's the news. So even when she does apologize, she blames somebody else.
Yeah.
And this is so fucking arrogant. I am deeply saddened by the pain that this whole situation has caused the victims of the devastating earthquake in China. I bet you not one fucking victim, because there's 88,000 dead victims.
Yeah.
Even know who Sharon Stone is.
Or give a shit.
About Sharon Stone. If they do know her, it's because of her coups.
Just give me some fucking water and life.
Because she spread her legs in a movie.
Yeah. Wait, this just in. There's a message for Sharon Stone.
The fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking. Boom!
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You motherfucker.
You know, after that film where she showed her coups, she started getting a lot of offers and... Oh, no, I don't do nudity. I don't do that.
Yeah, right.
Your whole career is based on your coups. And you're not going to do it now.
I should have got the divorce.
Unbelievable.
Remember when he's fighting with Sharon Stone?
Yeah, that was great. I love that. I want to see that. I want to go home and watch that tonight. I've never liked Sharon Stone. I'm going to pretend that happened in real life.
Hey, dude, I forgot to tell you. We got a phone call.
We got a phone call.
Yeah.
We get lots of phone calls, but a lot of them don't make the air.
Way of the Bob.
But Way of the Bob always. We always have space for Way of the Bob.
I just saw that, so I thought that we should just play it real quick.
All right.
It's quick. Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's Bob. Sorry for not ringing for a long time. I'm just a bit concerned that your your website and your domain appears to have disappeared. I hope it's nothing terminal, and I hope to see you back soon. Take care.
Okay, well, I didn't listen to it before we did the show.
Our website is back up.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I thought it was important.
There you go.
I didn't even listen
Our
to
website
it.
Was down
I've
for a while.
I've been back. Yeah, the website's been down. Although, I've had trouble getting my email off of the website. There's
really?
Three possibilities. There's squirrel mail. There's two other ones. And I couldn't get either of them working. And finally, I got one of them, a new one, working. And I don't know what the deal is.
Right. Well, you'll figure it out. It's on your end.
I got
it. It's a communication problem between... Yeah. The user and the keyboard, most likely.
Bullshit. It's not an ID10T error.
What did you just say?
An ID10T error.
Oh, I see.
You ever done one of those?
Right. An ID10T error.
For you listeners out there, write that down.
An ID10T error. Right.
It's a great joke. It's a fucking ID10T error.
Yeah.
Really? What's that?
It's like a Sofa King.
Sofa King. We ta did.
Also in celebrity news, I don't know if you heard this, John. Clay Aiken. Some refer to him as Gay Aiken.
No.
Is to be a dad.
Really?
Yeah, so I saw the headline.
He's having a butt baby?
I said, this can't be true. Clay Aiken may have proven himself capable to perform on Broadway. But how is he with a pair of diapers, John? That's what TMZ asks about the former American Idol runner-up. He'll be a father in the near future. The mother is James Foster. 50, John. 50. She's 50.
Whoa.
Who is Aiken's record producer and the crooner's close friend. Then the story all made sense for me with the next line.
Next line.
What's your fucking point?
The next line. TMZ reports she was artificially inseminated and is due in August. Of course. How could it be any other way? It can't be any other way.
So he fired it in some guy's ass. They sucked it out with a straw and shot it into her?
Apparently.
Ah.
Foster is also the sister of record mogul David Foster. The singer just released his fourth album?
Fourth.
On My Way Here, earlier this month.
He's a great singer, though, man. I gotta
Come
say.
Come on. Really?
You don't
I've
think
never
so?
Heard him.
He's fantastic.
I would never listen. I'd rather listen to the Goo Goo Dolls than Clay Aiken.
Oh, no.
That's right. Aiken, 29, plans to play an active role in
what
the
kind
child's
of a band
life.
Name is the Google Dolls. Google, Google. I mean, Goo Goo. Did I say Google?
You did. The Google Dolls.
The Google Dolls.
I don't know. Maybe they would ask the same about a kangaroo court. I don't know.
Kangaroo court is the greatest name ever.
Oh, can Clay Aiken get any creepier is my question. I mean,
have you ever seen that American Idol with the guy who's up there singing and then Clay Aiken walks on stage and the guy kind of looks like Clay Aiken. He's got glasses.
I don't watch American Idol.
Well,
I got better things
it's
to
on,
do.
It's on YouTube. You got to see it. It's this guy who auditioned and they're like, you're fucking awful. Get the fuck out of here. But he looks kind of like Clay Aiken. So they brought him on the show as part of this season thing where they brought back some really shitty singers to make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes on and he starts singing, doing his bit. And as he's singing, and what he auditioned with was a Clay Aiken song. And he's up there singing and Clay Aiken comes on the stage from behind. And the guy turns around and sees it's Clay Aiken. And starts spazzing out like, oh my God, I love you, man.
Oh,
he just starts flipping out. I mean, convulses for like 10 minutes.
That's not right. That's not right.
Well, for that young man, it was a dream come true. I was very happy for him, but at the same time, I was very amused.
Yeah. I can't get into Clay Aiken.
What's the matter with
it all,
man?
Gay Aiken.
Gay Aiken? Clay Why? Aiken. What's wrong with you, man?
It's not that I'm homophobic. It's just
you are.
Just come out of the closet, okay?
You cocksucker!
Just say yes, I like men.
Why? Why does he have to?
Why perpetrate a lie?
Do you go out and say, I like girls?
I don't have
all the
to.
Time? Why does he have to say he likes men? Just to make you happy?
Yes, just
so
to make
can
me
enjoy,
happy.
So you can enjoy, you can... walk up to him and ask him if you wish you knew how to quit him?
Here's the deal. If I saw him in an airport and he has not come out and says he likes men, I won't talk to him. He's a phony. If he has come out and said it, I'll sit down and have a conversation with him.
That is one big pile of
that
shit.
That is not a big pile of shit.
Yeah, it is. What do you care? Everybody has to broadcast their sexual preference before you'll acknowledge them. I'm Scott. I'm John. I like animals. Oh, okay, great. Let's have a convo.
Yeah, let's talk.
What's the 411?
Really? What, yeah, no doubt. What's up?
That's dumb.
No, it's. Why would you want to have a conversation with somebody who's phony about
you
their own orientation?
How do you know? How do you know he's being phony?
Come on.
What has he said? I like chicks.
Well, he hasn't said he likes men. And you think he
needs
to?
Why?
Because.
Because why?
Because he's gay.
What's your fucking point?
How do you know?
Oh, I know.
Soylent Green.
I can tell. I got gaydar, John. I got gaydar.
Yeah, you got gaydar.
That's right.
Gaydar up the ass.
Dar.
Gay darts.
All right, then, moving on. Celebrity news. Our last celebrity story. Last time we reported about Spike Lee and Clint Eastwood. Spike Lee was upset at Clint Eastwood.
Really?
Because he didn't include any black men in Flags of Our Fathers. So the story continues, John. Eastwood tells the paper he studied Iwo Jima and says a small detachment of black troops were there as part of a munitions company, but they didn't raise the flag. The story is Flags of Our Fathers, the famous flag-raising picture, and they didn't do that. If I go ahead and put an African-American actor in there, people would go, this guy's lost his mind. I mean, it's not accurate. Lee, the lauded director, is he really, of Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X, wasted no time responding to Eastwood. First of all, the man is not my father, and we're not on a plantation either.
Oh, Jesus.
What the hell does that mean?
What
I don't even know what that means.
Dick.
Lee tells ABC News, he's a great director. He makes his films. I make my films. The thing about it, though, I didn't personally attack him. Eastwood said a guy like that should shut his face.
Eastwood?
Yeah, Eastwood said Spike should shut his face. Come on, Clint, come on. He sounds like an angry old man right there. Oh, that would piss me off because if I am Clint Eastwood, I am old. And I am angry because Spike Lee's a cockwit.
Yeah.
The actor-director says he will take the Obama high road and end the feud right here.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, because he's wrong. That's why he's going to end it. The Spike Lee's next film, Miracle on St. Anna, is about an all-black U.S. division fighting in Italy. It will hit theaters in September.
Who the fuck is Spike Lee talking about plantation where he's never been near a plantation?
Right.
Except being born in Atlanta, Georgia, 1957.
Right.
Which is nowhere near the days of a plantation and picking cotton.
Well, that's what makes Obama's nomination even more astonishing, is because in 57, when Spike Lee was born, black people were still goddamn segregated in this country.
He wouldn't have gone to high school or fucking college if it was still that way.
That's right. But when were the laws changed? When could black people vote? Wasn't that in the 60s? I mean, it was just in the 60s. That's not that long ago. And even then, after they were given those rights, there are still some people, even today. Like I told you about the conversation I had at this...
But to continually marginalize historical events to foster your own career is a bunch of garbage.
It is a bunch of garbage, and it's low class. Low class.
It's low rent.
It's low rent. It's not well thought out.
I'm totally against any kind of oppression, but if you're going to use it to marginalize, you know, marginalize historical events just to promote your own agendas is a bunch of shit.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Spike Lee will have black actors portray Italians. We don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know. Point. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, I'm not going to see. I'll hear about it because I'm not going to see his dumbass movie. Give a shit about him. Let's turn to science news, John. Teenagers.
Science news.
Teenagers who smoke marijuana put themselves at risk for future mental illness and higher rates of depression. That's kind of scary, right? But then you read that according to a report to be released today by the White House Office of the National Drug Control Policy. So you know it's a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming out of the White House. Everything that comes out of the White House is a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the deficit.
Yeah.
I'll get to that.
It's a bunch of shit.
In a minute.
Let's see. Get this. In testament to tried and true move in the human mating game, European scientists have noticed. They just caught up, European scientists. Have noticed that young people in bars and nightclubs across the land are using alcohol and drugs to grease the wheels of foreplay. They just noticed
They just
this,
noticed
John.
That yeah, they the just last 500,000 years. If it wasn't drugs and alcohol, it was a club. They'd club the broad and then drag them back to the cave.
What's up with European scientists? They just noticed this.
What geniuses?
Duh.
Hello.
We could be European scientists, John.
We are.
Unbelievable. This is off of next one. RichardDawkins.net. A new poll shows that 85% of U.S. adults agree that presidential candidates should participate in a debate on how science can be used to tackle America's major challenges. Which I think, definitely, if they want to have some debates, one of them, the focus, should be science and technology. We got to see what these fuckers are up to, what their views are on a very important issue. Because under the Bush regime, science has been nominalized. Is that a word? I don't think so. What am I meaning to say?
Minimalized?
Minimalized.
Minimized?
Minimized, been reduced to nothing. It's a goddamn joke. We used to be on the cutting edge of scientists. Now we got to worry about Europeans who just noticed that alcohol greases the wheels. Get this, John. Next science.
What is that noise?
News. I don't know. It's like a thump. Thump. Thump.
Yeah.
Thump. This is one of my favorite science stories
of all
time. Hold
on. Keep talking. Or don't keep talking. Let me talk for a second, all right?
All right.
All right. Let me talk for 1 second. Can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let me just say a couple of things here while I switch you over to another channel. See, we do this live, Scott. Yeah.
We do it. It's so live that I still hear the thumping.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Must be you. Maybe you want to change yours.
Mine.
I'll keep talking. Well, you change yours. How about that? Because the thumping is louder now.
I just shut mine off, and it's...
You know, this is the same thumping that made me go get a new mic, John. So it may not be the mic, is what you're saying?
May not.
Why don't you get a mic that works?
It might be the cord. It may be the cord, man.
Whose cord? My cord?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's
All right, I'm
going to
unplug my cord.
All right.
Plugged it back
in. All right, we're back live.
That was brutal. Brutal. That was. All right, let me get on with the this really kick-ass science story. The one before that.
It's got to be the cord. We're going to switch your cord out.
Right now?
No.
One of my favorite science stories that we all came from black people. That white people are just a genetic mutation. Now this one is up there. Is right up there with that.
Yeah.
I think this is brilliant, John. Assistant professor of cognitive sciences at the Polytechnic Institute.
It's the somewhere.
Mark Changizi says that actions like catching a football or easily moving through a room full of people requires something more than quickly responding to a situation. It requires our ability to foresee the future. So get this, John. It takes our brain nearly one-tenth of a second to translate the light that hits our retina into a visual perception of the world around us, right? So we see something, and it takes a split second for our brain to process
right.
that. So, John, when you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Mute me.
All right. So anyway, yeah, what Scott's saying is...
You're supposed to mute me, man.
He's going to, like, click over to another channel.
Still, no help. Nothing. Still got the thump, 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 thump.
That is fucking amazing, thump. Man. It's got to be your mic.
It's a brand new mic, man. Come on.
Are you sure that's the new one?
That is the new one. It came out of the case.
How do you know?
It doesn't have any spooge on it.
Maybe you switched them.
It's not a Rusty Sanchez. You know what I'm saying? Getting back to the science story. So while the neural delay of that magnitude may seem minuscule, imagine trying to catch a ball or wade through a store full of people while always perceiving the very recent one-tenth of a second prior past. The ball passing within 1 meter of you, traveling at 1 meter per second in reality, would be roughly 6 degrees displaced from where you perceive it.
Right.
So what our brain does is it takes the visual stuff that we have and it processes the future based on current conditions.
Whoa.
So when I think about that, I apply it to basketball. And there's guys like Magic Johnson or this new guy, Chris Paul, who can see the court. They talk about the court vision. And what it really is they have the perception to see in the future very accurately based on current events. So they can make those spectacular plays. They can make those prophetic plays.
Yeah.
And I don't have that ability. Yeah, half the time I pass the ball, I turn it over. But that's why I'm such a hog. I just keep it and try to score. I find that fascinating. Fascinating, John. And what the guy did basically is, I don't know if you go out to and you see these optical illusions on websites where, for example, they have a bullseye and they have two straight lines
right.
drawn parallel down from top to bottom. And when you look at it, the lines start to bend. That's because your brain is starting to process the future, like you're moving towards this object. That's what all optical illusions are, is your brain processing the future as you move toward the image. Fascinating stuff, John. Fascinating.
It is.
Not as fascinating as the thump.
What's your fucking
thump,
point?
Thump. Thump.
You don't like that?
Thump. So, these guys who can hit a baseball, they just have the ability. Of course, they have some sort of athletic ability, and they have the quick wrist speed. But they have the ability to predict the future of where the ball is going to be so that they can hit it. That's all they got. That's it.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
All right,
that's it with science news, John.
Let's fix this.
Are we going to take a break? Are we going to pause? What are we going to do?
Stop talking a second. All of a sudden, it's gone.
When I stop talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're talking...
Maybe it's me. Maybe it's something in my throat that throbs.
No. What is going on? Why is it doing that? We switched the cable and everything.
Everything. And now it's not there.
It's a totally different signal path.
Could be the board. I don't know. Maybe the board.
No, how is the board only on your channels? I've put you on three channels.
All right. It's not the board.
You went from 2 to 4 to now 3. And it's been doing it since 2, 4, and 3.
All right, here's what it is, John. When we don't know, it must be God. It's God. God is fucking with our show. That's what it is. How simple is that? Now we don't even have to think about it.
No, it can't.
We don't even
have
to try to figure it out. We just have to pray to God not to do that anymore. And we'll be all good. It'll be great.
Yeah, but it stopped.
Right. I did a little Lord's Prayer. I prayed for him. I prayed for him not to fuck up our show. Now he's fucking with us again. Or is that you?
That's me. I'll cut all that out. All right. Oh, shit. What?
Hello. Oh, yeah. It looks nasty outside. I'm looking at the radar.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the Lakers were getting crushed. I think they made kind of a comeback. But here's what I'm saying. Boston Celtics are a jump shooting team. They shot very well this game. If I had money, I'm going to try to go get some money. And I'm going to bet everything I have.
I'm going to try and go get some money.
On the Lakers covering the spread next game. Because there's no way a jump shooting team can shoot that well over two games. Especially on somebody else's home court. So whatever the Lakers in points that they're given for the next game, bet on the Lakers. That's my advice to the fans of TTN. Mortgage your house. Bet on the Lakers. There's no way they're going to lose the next game. There you have
it. Nice.
All right, John, you ready to turn to politics?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
I got a quiz. You want a quiz? Similar to the celebrity quiz, but this is a politician. I'll give you a statement. You tell me which politician said this.
All right.
Okay? Who said, it was a shameful thing to ask men to suffer and die, to persevere through God-awful afflictions and heartache, to endure the dehumanizing experiences that are unavoidable in combat, for a cause that the country wouldn't support over time, and that our leaders so wrongly believed could be achieved at a smaller cost than our enemy was prepared to make us pay. No other national endeavor requires as much unshakable resolve as war. If the nation and the government lack that resolve, it is criminal to expect men in the field to carry it alone. Who said that?
Dick Cheney.
Straight Talk Express.
Oh.
Said that. That's right. Straight Talk Express. Who wants to spend the next 100 years in Iraq?
Yeah. What a dickhead.
What a fucking dumbass. He's dumber. Well, he's smarter than the W, but he will be perceived dumber because he's not as arrogant as the W. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's going to be a goddamn landslide.
A couple of things came out. This came out June 6th. It took just a few months after the United States invasion of Iraq for the world to find out that Saddam Hussein had long abandoned his nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons programs.
Nuclear.
He was not training terrorists or colluding with Al-Qaeda. The only real threat he posed was to his own countrymen. It has taken 5 years to finally come to a reckoning over how much the Bush administration knowingly twisted and hyped intelligence to justify that invasion. On Thursday, after years of Republican stonewalling, a report by the Senate Intelligence Committee gave us as good a set of answers as we're likely to get. So, overall, the report makes it clear that top officials, especially Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, knew they were not giving a full account, an honest account, of their justifications for going to war. And we knew that all along. But
we've
now
been saying that all along, but now it's like formal. It's a formal report. Yeah. And these guys are still in office. And nobody's talking about impeachment. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just lie down. We'll just lie down. Let them fuck us in the ass. Yeah. That's great. Fuckers.
So here we go again with the pumping.
So McClellan comes out with his book, and he pretty much says the same thing. What's interesting is no one in the White House is refuting McClellan's points about using propaganda to sell the war.
Yeah.
The failures after Katrina or Bush authorizing the plane leak. That came right from the W. That's something we said a long time ago. Right. It had to come from the W. The White House is just trying to discredit his character.
Right.
Which is a Karl Rove tactic.
Right.
Just go after their character. Make them look like a fucking idiot, and everything will be great. But sooner or later, the facts catch up with that stupid strategy. And Karl Rove, Bush, and Cheney, and Dumsfeld need to be in fucking prison,
yeah.
If you ask me. It's a goddamn joke.
All right, we gotta stop this goddamn thing.
Okay. Phil didn't come over yet, though.
Hold on, yeah, what is that?
It's speeding up.
Don't talk. I won't talk.
Like I'm dribbling a basketball.
All right.
All right, then. What else you got?
Hold on.
I got a story about Danny Pipes.
Who's that?
Danny Pipes?
Yeah.
He says if Obama wins, Bush will attack Iran in November.
Really?
Leading neocon Danny Pipes.
That is one big pile of shit.
Said in an interview posted Wednesday at a National Review online that if Barack Obama is elected, George Bush will attack Iran in the remaining 10 weeks of his term.
Really?
Should the Democratic nominee win in November, President Bush will do something. And should it be Mr. McCain who wins, he'll punt and let McCain decide what to do.
Wow.
How about that?
That is one big pile of shit.
You had a story about the W and the economy? Did you have that one?
Actually, I have a story about the deficit.
The deficit?
Yeah, the federal government keeps two sets of books. Did you know that, Scott?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the set the government promotes.
Sounds like Enron.
To the public is healthier. It has a healthier bottom line. A $318 billion deficit in 2005. The set the government doesn't talk about is the audited financial statement produced by the government's accountants following standard accounting rules. It reports a more ominous financial picture of a $760 billion deficit for 2005. If Social Security and Medicare were included as the board that sets accounting rules is considering, the federal deficit would be $3.5 trillion.
Currently?
Yeah. Congress has written its own accounting rules, which would be illegal for a corporation to use because they ignore important costs such as the growing expense of retirement benefits for civil servants and military personnel. A growing number of Congress members and accounting experts say it's time for Congress to start using the audited financial statements when it makes budget decisions. They say accurate accounting would force Congress to show more restraint before approving popular measures to boost spending or cut taxes. This is what somebody says here. So we're a bottom line culture, and we've been hiding the bottom line from the American people, says Representative Jim Cooper, Democrat of Tennessee, a former investment banker. It's not fair to them, and it's delusional on our part. And this is what cracks me up. Here's a Democrat known as being a left-wing, tax-and-spend liberal compared to all these conservative right-wingers who it's all coming out now that they are not fucking conservative whatsoever. More and more you hear about Democrats coming out as being fiscal conservatives. Do they tax and spend? Yes, but the money usually goes back into the infrastructure, whereas the Republicans have been borrowing and spending, which is even
when you
worse.
Say it's coming out now, it's not. I mean, we've been talking about this
forever.
Yeah,
I know. But
in 2006, they're fucking it up. And then since then, how many more years of war and how many billions of dollars that goes into this war and all this other shit? Yeah, let's spend $1.6 billion on bailing out the banks.
Or the Bridge to Nowhere and all that.
It's a goddamn joke.
Earmarked bullshit. Borrowing and spending. The problem is people don't get it, that when you borrow and spend, you have to pay interest on the borrowing.
They should as get it because they all have goddamn credit card bills.
Well, the tax and spend, when you tax people and spend it, it all goes back into the infrastructure. Don't take my money away because I want to keep it all. I don't want government intervention until I fuck up as a business, and then I'm starting to cry to the government to bail my ass out. Exactly what you said. This is bullshit. Pay as you go. You want to be a business. You want to be part of society. You have to pay some taxes.
Why don't they start taxing the goddamn church? How about tax the church, make marijuana legal, and tax that? And you're done. You got more goddamn money than we know what to do with.
And here's another story, my last story here. The Pentagon has been developing a ray gun, which we talked about before, which can harmlessly repel enemies by causing a burning sensation
in their balls.
In the top layer of their balls. Top layer of skin. However, according to CBS's 60 Minutes, the military is unwilling to actually trust the weapon enough to deploy it in Iraq. We are now stepping into the Buck Rogers scenario, explained Colonel Kirk Himes, who is in charge of testing the active denial system, the ADS, Scott, at Moody Air Force Base in Georgia. Himes demonstrated the weapon by staging what CBS somewhat oddly called a scenario soldiers might encounter in Iraq. A handful of military volunteers dressed as civilian protesters who carried signs saying peace, not war, and threw objects at a small group of soldiers. A series of ray gun blasts from half a mile away disrupted their chance and finally sent them running. Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition Sue Payton calls the active denial system a huge game changer, which could have would have saved huge number of lives, she told CBS. It could be used to read someone's mind in effect. If they continue to come at you, then you're fairly sure they're probably a terrorist or an adversary who wants to do you harm. The active denial system was developed in secret for 10 years before being unveiled by the Pentagon in 2001. As of 2004, it was being described as ready for use in Iraq within the next 12 months. This has still not occurred, and according to Secretary Payton, use of the weapon in Iraq is now not politically tenable because after Abu Ghraib, you don't ever, ever, ever want a system like this to be thought of as a torture weapon. However, the failure to deploy the weapon as planned has raised suspicions that the real intention for its use is domestic crowd control.
Of course it is.
This is what cracks me up is because after Abu Ghraib, you don't ever, ever want a system like this to be thought of as a torture weapon. No. Like dogs and pretending to wire somebody up or putting a gun in their fucking face and waterboarding them isn't enough torture.
Right.
Right? You don't
want
that.
That's done in a back
room. That's okay.
That's done in secret.
That's okay, but don't ever think of using a ray gun, Buck Rogers style ray gun. However, yeah, this is great.
A couple of things
crowd
here.
Crowd control.
A couple of things here. First of all, I didn't like their assumption that if you keep coming at them, you must be a terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm getting ray-gunned, I'm going to see what the fuck is going on. I'm going to kick somebody. It's going to make me angry. It's not going to make me a terrorist.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to find out and try to kick somebody's ass.
But Himes demonstrated their weapon by staging what CBS somewhat called, oddly called, a scenario soldiers might encounter in Iraq. A handful of military volunteers dressed as civilian protesters who carried signs saying peace,
yeah, you read that.
Not war.
You going to read that again?
Hilarious? But think about it. A scenario soldiers might encounter. Peace, not war, who threw objects at a small group of soldiers, and then they zapped them with a fucking death ray.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't throw shit, then it'd be okay, right? I'm assuming. But who knows? Maybe they just see those signs and they zap shit.
What did they throw at him, though? Feces or something? Well, and then you get a zap him with a death ray?
You're brilliant, John. That's brilliant. Here's the thing. We can be weapons makers. I'm sure this system costs $1 billion, right? To develop this and test it, and you got to get scientists involved. How about this? How about just collect dog shit and throw it at them? I think that would disperse a crowd, don't you? And how cheap would that be? It's the idea, John, the idea.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we come up with a crowd disbursement? You fly a helicopter over with 2,000 pounds of dog shit.
You're flinging poo.
And you drop it on them. Or actually, you throw it up in the blades and it chops it up and spreads it all over them. That would disperse a crowd, wouldn't it? I mean, half of them would be vomiting. The other half would run away and try to clean up.
Yeah.
That's my assumption. We'd have to test it. Of course. We could do our own tests.
Right, the poo test.
That's right. We'll just start throwing shit at people and see if they run away or what they do. All right, John, before I get the door, I got one more story. The W says signs show stimulus plan is working to boost economy, John. Do you know when he said this? He didn't say this like 2 months ago. He didn't say it 2 weeks ago. He said it today. So the government gave us some money back. It's like $600 a person. And he said, this plan is working, John. It's boosting the economy.
Wow.
This guy is so goddamn delusional. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. I just wish whoever, you know, Rove left. So who's handling him now? Who's the chimp handler is what I want to know. Who puts him in his crate at night?
You cocksucker!
And who takes him out in the morning? They need to muzzle this idiot. Yeah. How does the W say with a straight face? This is why he's dumber.
Yeah.
Than John McCain. Yeah. I just changed my mind. He's dumber than John McCain. Knowing that the dollar is in free fall, John, free fall.
Oil
prices are going to be $140 per barrel. $140. And unemployment is going through the roof.
Yeah, what happened to $20 a barrel there, Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, did he say that? It's going to be $20?
And so did Rupert Murdoch. The reason why we're invading Iraq is to get the oil down to $20 a barrel. Whatever, you fucking cock-smoking fuck sticks.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Dumbasses. All right, let me get the door.
What's your fucking point?
Hold on.
Are you going or what?
Let me go, man.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm back.
I'm back, man.
Can you just get him a key? The doorbell is driving me insane.
I don't want him having a key.
We got to work something else out. Maybe he can come over when we start the show or something. I mean, this is always this big production. Mute his mic until he's ready. Come on. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Gentlemen, I'm ready when you are. Just getting my papers together.
Right.
It's good to see you again after the one-week layoff as John went to Germany. Oh, hold on, John. We have a correction. We have a Phil correction. This is from the Papooch. John and Scott, what's up, dudes? I can't believe Phil missed this. What a screw-up. Did you hear that, Phil?
Yes. Please continue.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Sue Simmons is on New York City, not Cali, as noted in podcast 133, Phil. I'm glad that you guys are back, and the best of clips were great, especially John's. I liked his better. John should put them together forever. Keep them
he
coming.
Didn't say that.
And for Christ's sake, Christ's sakey. Smack Scott upside the head for me
He says Christ for Christ's sake. It's supposed to be Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. Yeah, that's what screwed me up.
Christ's sake.
We have a correction for Papooch. No possessive punctuation, okay? later, the Papooch. So what do you have to say about that, Phil? Papooch says Sue Simmons was on in New York, not in California. Dumbass.
Well, that's... I can't believe I said California. You know, I may have mixed it up because I did spend a lot of time as a newsman on both coasts where I would fly in the same day from L.A. to California, and so I may have misappropriately spoken about that. Of course, it was a distraction, and it was news sensationalism that led to this being a story.
Why didn't you go all night? What happened?
I don't know. I get tired, you know. I need naps.
Oh,
need
you got that hemoglobin.
That was probably the day that I borrowed the Papooch's rollerblades and went across the Brooklyn Bridge.
That's right.
Which is made of wooden planks.
Let me ask you a question, because you rip on me about this every time. Can you rollerblade? Yes. Did I say it was smart? No. You didn't ask the right question.
Yeah.
See? You didn't ask the right question.
Yeah, so I'll just be a total cocksucker and not give you the information. Because you need to ask me specifically.
Hello, Morley. This is the Papooch. I heard that Sean was in the hospital and was having a rough, I guess a week at this point, if not longer. Just checking to see how everyone's doing and to wish everybody happy Easter. I'm going to try to call over to the general and figure out if he's still admitted or...
What a dope.
I will talk to you guys later.
Like those air out my shorts dopes.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you hear the kung fu going on in the background?
I did. What was that?
I don't know.
Hello, Morley. This is
Hoya!
Maybe they listen to Punky.
Hello, Morley. This is the Papooch. I heard this town was not.
That's when we did our April Fools in broadcast
right.
from the hospital.
It's the famous Papooch. So
the Papooch, the evolution.
The very guy.
Right on, Papooch. So what do you have to say? Oh, Phil already explained
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he nailed Phil for Christ's sake.
For Christ, Saki.
Saki! That's not what he said. Come on.
All right, let's please move on. I have many things to do. I'm a very social person. I had social engagements.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News.
Thank you, John.
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Wow. That was something else. In our first starting night, if elected President Barack Obama said that one of the first things he wants to do is ensure the constitutionality of all the laws and executive orders passed while President Bush has been in office.
What?
He wants to review all the executive orders passed while President Bush has been in office. I got a question for you, John. When would he have time to be president? Next story, John.
Oh.
Little political commentary from Phil McCracken Wickham. A Japanese man puzzled by food mysteriously disappearing from his refrigerator got a shock when he discovered a woman had been living in his home for months. Without permission. The 57-year-old man who lives alone, or so he thought, in the western city of Fukuoka, installed a security camera and called the police when he saw images of someone walking around his home while he was out. We searched the house and a man's presence. We found a woman in a closet, said the local police spokesman. The woman, named as 58-year-old Tatsuko Horikawa, was found in the flat storage space only just big enough for a person to squeeze into lying down. She had sneaked a mattress and several plastic bottles into the cubbyhole, police said. She told police she had nowhere to live, the spokesman said. She seemed to have lived there for about a year, but that's the only time. It is unclear how she managed to enter the home undetected. Police suspect she might be... have been closet hopping, moving from house to house. Next story time.
Closet hopping. That's very famous.
Let me ask you this, John. What do you call a person who graduates fifth from the bottom of his class at Annapolis? That is the question for you, John. Do you know what you call the person who graduates fifth from the bottom of the class of Annapolis?
Our president.
No, the Republican Party, the current Republican Party nominee for president. That's right. Senator John McCain actually graduated 894th out of 899 middies at the Naval Academy. Remember,
He's the son and the grandson of U.S. Navy admirals. In the future, I will start to refer to him as McW or McDopey.
That's like a new sandwich at McDonald's.
Oh,
I'd like a McW.
Put that in the kids' meal. What do they call that? The Happy Meal.
Happy Meal.
One, give me the Happy McW.
He's about a fry short of a Happy Meal.
Oh, that's funny, John.
Yeah.
All right, next story. Trouser snake, meet real snake. Real snake, meet trouser snake. A man almost died when he stopped for a roadside toilet break and was bitten by a deadly snake on the end of his manhood. The poisonous brown snake darted between his legs and dived at his penis as he had crouched on a roadside near Cairns, Australia before fleeing. Emergency workers rushed to the scene and wrapped the man's cock in plastic case. It was infected with poison. But the tourist, suffering from a wound, vomiting, and stomach pain, was given the all clear after the test. An ambulance spokesman, who described the victim as lucky, said, "It certainly had a swipe at him, but I didn't envenomate him. As it came through, it must have got a bit of a shock." Hear, hear. I think he was a bit shocked and embarrassed. Next story, John. This story is just in, John. All those tax dollars spent on anti-cigarette ads are working. Kids now prefer joints. Next story, John.
That's nice.
Check it out.
Barcode? What's that? Very ignorant woman charged with attempting to obtain property by false pretense. Police have charged an Asheville woman with trying to claim $1 million with an altered lottery ticket. Michelle Ryans, 39, was arrested Tuesday night. She is charged with obtaining property by false pretense. According to the arrest warrant, Ryans used an altered cash spectacular lottery ticket to try to claim more than $1 million from a North Carolina lottery on April 4th. Officials say Ryans cut and pasted numbers from non-winning tickets to match the winning number. Lottery officials said that the process for validating tickets is automatic and is based on barcodes. So the fraud was discovered immediately. Ryans is being held on $5,000 bond at the Buncombe County Jail. Next story, John. This is a news quiz, John. A news quiz. Elderly woman not breathing, or B, a double whopper. If you're a firefighter in Austin, Texas, the obvious answer is B. Austin, Texas firefighter has been fired after he made a pit stop at Burger King before responding to an emergency call from a 77-year-old woman in respiratory failure. Michael Pooler's snack attack postponed the Austin Fire Department's emergency response by approximately 2 minutes and resulted in his termination by Fire Chief Jim Evans. In a memo, Evans stated the fire crew leader had displayed a shocking neglect of duty when he stopped for a bite to eat before responding to the emergency call. Immediate response to 9/11 calls is the very essence of what it means to be an Austin firefighter, the fire chief said. Because of his selfish and highly unprofessional actions, he has no right to remain an Austin firefighter. Next story, John.
Hey, Phil.
Yes.
What do you call twin Italians with a yeast infection?
I'm not sure.
A double whopper with cheese.
Oh, that's a good one, John. Piano craze hits China, where 30 million children are taking lessons. If only there was an easy piano piece that could help Asian children relate to the instrument. Next story, John.
What? What?
A police officer in Ohio said he pulled over a woman he suspected was driving drunk
and found the woman's one-year-old son steering the wheel.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Where was that from? Hold on. I don't know yet. Oh, Cincinnati. Myra Green was pulled over Tuesday. The officer said that when he came to the driver's window, he found Green's one-year-old son at the wheel, sitting in Green's lap. Green, 29, registered a 0.11% blood alcohol level. Two other children, ages 8 and 5, were also in the car. Green was arrested and faces charges of DUI, driving under OVI suspension, noncompliance, and endangering children. Police said this is Green's third DUI arrest in 6 years. The children were released to their father. Next story, John. Not satisfied with simply having sex with her students, teacher raises the bar by getting freaky with two students 10 times in one night.
Wow.
Giddy up. Next story, John.
Yeah.
John, this next story is a little sketchy, but not all the facts are in. But it appears that a man, while laughing at his neighbors, was masturbating. This is out of Fort Walton Beach. Police used a laser to measure exactly how far away a suspect was when witnesses said he masturbated and laughed at them. The 44-year-old man is charged with exposure of sexual organs, a misdemeanor.
Was that you?
Witnesses, I'm not 44 yet, John. Well, I mean, Scott is not 44 yet. Witnesses said he was standing just inside an open second-story window of a residence on Wright Parkway, holding his cock in his hand and laughing. According to the police report, when police went to the residence, the man was lying on a bed in the upstairs bedroom and said he was just preparing for a post-shower nap. His hair was not damp, though. Police became suspicious, and it did not appear that he had recently showered. Excuse me, John.
Hit your cough button.
The distance between the witness's doorstep and the man's bedroom window is 80 feet, an officer said after measuring it with a certified laser instrument. The man later told a detective he was urinating out of his bedroom window, not masturbating. And I will try to follow up on this story because that was just in. Next story, John. Whore in training. That's right, John. Whore in training. Miley Cyrus is dating 22-year-old backup singer. And yes, John, she's still 15. Next story, John. Next and last story. Murder suspect wears his feces to court.
What?
Artives Freeman.
What?
Artives Freeman stunned the courtroom on his first day of the murder trial.
Ted
he walked
Nugent?
In dressed in a suit and tie and covered in his own feces. As lawyers, court staff, and deputies watched in disbelief, Superior Court Judge James Morgan, rhymes with Oregon, questioned the 24-year-old unemployed Charlotte Mann. But Freeman, who was representing himself, surprise, surprise, never said a word. The judge ordered Freeman committed to Dorothea Dix Hospital in Raleigh for an evaluation to determine if he's competent to stand trial. One of the jury members was overheard saying, asking if the suspect was black or a white guy with shit on his face.
Oh,
Freeman is
dude.
Accused of killing a 46-year-old female acquaintance in 2006 after a disagreement. In his order, the judge questioned Freeman's capacity to proceed, noting his prior history with mental health problems. Defendant has been found to have borderline intellectual functioning or mild mental retardation, the judge wrote. And that's the news. And I'm your newsman, Phil McCracken Whitcomb, with Total Talk Nonsense and John and Scott, reporting episode 134.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
I'll leave.
Bye-bye now.
I wanted to talk about some other stuff, but I see how it is.
All right, well, come back then.
Yeah, actually, I was kidding. I really don't have anything else to say.
Well, you're still walking.
I think I'm getting a cold.
All right. Well, go get out.
All right, then.
If there was only something I had to gargle with. Something warm. All right, then.
He's crazy, man.
He is crazy. What was the time on this one? What's the time?
2:43.
2:43. Nice.
We gotta bring it down to 2 hours, man.
We do. We do. It's 11:30. Well, you were gone for a week.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we have this week at TTN Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John,
and I'm Scott.
And don't forget to check out. I made some new designs to the Cafe Press T-shirt.
Oh, nice! Yeah, thing. Nice.
Some more mugs and stuff. Kangaroo Court.
Kangaroo Court.
Matter of
fact,
I got an email from Rick's wife wanting to know: is it true you can actually buy the G string with our faces on it?
Of course.
Or is this some kind of joke? I said no.
It's no joke.
Can't buy these.
You think we'd make a joke like that? That's not funny. That's not fun.
So for you ladies out there that would like a nice white G-string with our faces on the front, which is very nice, and the logo on the back for a Kangaroo Court, pick that up. I don't think I've made one for the TTN yet. Maybe I did. Oh, am I keeping you up again?
Let me ask you this, John.
What?
How do you get to Cafe Press for AKC?
That's a good question.
That is a good
question. I don't think we have a link.
We don't have a link on the website. Well, just send me that link and I'll update the website.
I'll do that. I'll do
that. How about that?
Can I do something for the website or create like a flash animation or something?
Create it, give it to me, and I'll post
it. So your face is on there too. You're a very important part of a Kangaroo Court, and your face is not represented.
You are the founding members of Kangaroo Court. You've been together for 15 years. I'm just like a session player.
Bullshit. You're a staple of the band. Because of you, we have reinvented a Kangaroo Court into the most famous version of the band to date.
Famous knuckle-dragging version of the band. Yeah.
There's only been two real versions. That's with Phil, the bass player, and you as the bass player.
Nice. All the rest were phonies.
They're all,
that's what you're saying.
They're all has been crap.
All right, then.
Yeah. So you are definitely
that makes me hard,
a
John.
Kangaroo Courter kind of guy. You're a main member.
When the documentary is made, I will get a good portion of the screen time, is what
that's
you're saying.
Right. No doubt.
Right on.
What? You've been a member longer than Phil has been.
No.
Yeah, dude.
I've been a member not even 4 years. Phil had to be longer than 4 years.
Off and on. I don't know. Maybe it was 4 years. Is it only been four? No, it's been longer than 4 years because we've been doing this podcast almost 4 years.
No, we just passed 3 years in March.
Ah. So when did we do that show at Mrs. P and Me's?
In February.
Of 2000?
No, of 2004.
2004, really?
Yeah, so I'm sorry, 2005. So February 2009 will be 4 years.
I don't believe that. It's got to be
Believe
longer.
It.
No. Because we started doing the podcast at the old studio, and we were practicing here at my house before that for a whole year.
For a year?
Yeah.
All right, then. So it has been 4 years.
Yeah, it's
been about four and a half years.
Right. All right, well, thanks.
Oh, wait a minute. Rick quit sometime in there.
Oh, right. For like 2 minutes.
No, it was longer than 2 minutes.
It was like a day.
Because we started doing two podcasts a week.
Oh, right.
And then he came back and we're
like, oh. Ruined everything.
Ruined everything.
Yeah.
We'd be podcasting kings.
But he wasn't quitting because of us. He had other shit going on.
Well, we were the tipping point.
We were not the tipping point.
I was the tipping point.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, when I fucked up some song and he threw his guitar down and had a nervous breakdown and quit.
He fucked up six songs and then you fucked up one more.
Yeah, I fucked up one more, made it seven.
Yeah.
He couldn't take it. That was it.
So 90% was not your fault, only maybe 7.
Right.
Right.
Right on.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
We're out of here.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.